much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Well, well, well. How the turntables.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, Puff.
What is?
Yo, buddy, it's Billy Bush. Hey, man, listen, you got about a few minutes just to chat about the awards last night?
No, I'm having sex right now. Can I call you back?
Are you really?
Yes.
God, you're the best. Should I email?
I'll call you back.
Should I
got your number. I'll call you back.
I love that.
Love you, man.
That is amazing.
And now, I'm Steve Croft.
I'm Leslie Stahl.
I'm Bob Simon.
I'm Morley Safer.
I'm Anderson Cooper.
I'm Scott Pelley.
Hey, it's Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Our feature presentation.
What's going on with that?
Just finally, the show that America's been waiting for. 60 Minutes would be successful if they added you as a correspondent.
Can you imagine?
There'd be stories on go-kart races. That'd be a whole different show. I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Hey, did you end up watching that 60 Minutes I told you about with Matt and Trey?
Saved it. I haven't had time.
Those guys are unbelievable.
They are,
aren't they?
They're my heroes.
Yeah, they did
they're
incredible.
So much so that
guys.
I still haven't watched it. Yeah,
the guys in South Park. They're talking about how Book of Mormon is, you know, the best show on Broadway in the last 10 years, and it sold out 5 months in advance, and just on and on and on about how brilliant it is and how amazing their story is, and the fact that they write and record and put together every South Park episode themselves in 6 days, too. 15 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that, and they're always rushing for like 6 a.m. the day it airs or whatever.
Right.
Yep. So that they can get it done and turned in. That's incredible pressure.
It is. I mean, 15 years of all-nighters because the show is due in the morning and we're not done with it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the schedule that they prefer. That's how they work best. It's
just
year
incredible. 7, year 8, you go, hey, let's figure something out so we're not doing this.
let's plan ahead.
No. It also, but it also helps it be a lot more topical.
Absolutely.
And current and stuff.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That more so than any other animated show.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. Lisa, I'm glad to see you today. I feared that, I didn't know what would have happened to you last night. Tell me your boyfriend wasn't over watching the Red Sox game.
No, he wasn't. He was watching it at home.
Oh,
and
thank
I know
God.
He had to... Wasn't it rained out at one point?
Wait, help me understand. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, let me fill... Okay. This is one of those rare times that I know, you know, I get the scorn from Kevin for even bringing up baseball. This is a story even you will appreciate,
right?
Because yesterday was the last day of the regular season.
Okay.
And
it's almost over. Great.
So so... Some teams have already won their divisions that are going to the playoffs, but then they have something in baseball called the wild card that they've been doing for about 15 years, and they instituted that in the mid-1990s because they wanted more teams to be able to make the playoffs, have more pennant races, right? Okay. So in the American League and in the National League last night, there were both teams that were tied going into the game. So it was a question of one wins, one loses, or both win or both loses, they all have completely different outcomes. So the Red Sox are in Baltimore last night, the worst team in baseball, okay?
Oh, fantastic for the Red Sox, right?
They are tied with Tampa for the wild card. Now, they're packing their bags, but they don't know either if both teams win, they've got to go down to Tampa for a one-game playoff to see who wins the wild card to get in. If the Red Sox win and Tampa loses, then they're going to Texas to start the first round of the playoffs against the Rangers. And if Tampa wins and the Red Sox lose, they go home. Season's over. So you have no idea when you show up to the stadium where you're going after the game last night.
I do love it when it comes down to one game.
And
yes,
the thing
any
is,
sport.
It put the Red Sox fans in the position of rooting for the Yankees for
yes,
one
because
night.
The Yankees are playing Tampa,
oh,
right, exactly.
Interesting, okay.
So the Red Sox have had...
Wait,
statistically,
so Alec Baldwin is now rooting for John Krasinski?
For one game.
Okay.
So the Red Sox had the most historic, statistically, collapse in the history of baseball in September. Okay? They had a 9-game lead on September 3rd over the Tampa Bay Rays for the wild card.
Nine games. Which is a lock, right?
Which is insurmountable.
Yeah.
Right. Until it's not. Until you go 7-20 in the month of September.
Woo.
So they got one eye on the Tampa New York game that's going on down in Florida, and the Yankees are blowing out the Red Sox. They've got a 7-run lead in the 8th inning. The Yankees are winning over Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay comes back and ties that game up to stay alive. It goes into extra innings, and Tampa ends up winning that game, I think in the bottom of the 12th inning with a walk-off homer. So Tampa has now won their game, okay? The Red Sox, meanwhile, are leading their game against the Orioles the entire game. And they're playing terribly. They leave 11 guys on base. They get a guy thrown out trying to make a single into a double. They get a guy thrown out at home because he didn't know whether the outfielder had caught the ball or not, so he had stopped. So it's like one mistake after
another.
These
are the kinds of mistakes that give away games.
Yeah.
Yes. But they've still got a lead going into the bottom of the ninth, and they've got Papelbon, their, you know, ace closer who's up there who almost never blows a save.
All right, I got another minute of interest. That's it.
He's got two outs and ends up blowing the game.
And they lost?
And they end up losing. The Orioles end up winning the game, and the Red Sox go home, and they're done after having a 9-run lead.
At
that
point,
the beginning of September.
Even if you're a fan, don't you go, you guys deserve to lose. Come on.
Well, yeah, if you have a 9-run. Yeah, of course
Come
you
do. On.
Of course you do, yeah.
Unbelievable collapse.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking. It's not heartbreaking if you're not a Red Sox fan, though.
Right.
That's fine.
Clearly, I'm speaking for Red Sox fans.
I feel bad for Red Sox fans, but I don't feel bad for Red Sox fans because obviously they have a team that makes the playoffs every year. They've won the World Series twice in the last seven or 8 years.
Right.
So, you know, they've certainly
to shake
had
off
theirs.
That whole, you know, oh, poor us thing.
Yeah, totally. And by the way, just to 10 seconds more, you know, the National League one was tied also, and Atlanta needed to win to have a chance to go on, and they ended up losing their game in the bottom of the 13th inning.
When they lost their game to the
Phillies. So it was just a phenomenal, unbelievable night for baseball fans last night.
That's crazy.
But no teams that either you or I like are in the playoffs. That's sure. So we're just watching watching as spectators. But still, the Red Sox, man, fans got to be just hurting today.
Yeah. I think that's good.
I do.
I'm anti-Boston. All goes back to the Celtics. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
That man has the largest penis I have ever seen.
Thank you. Michael Hawk and Ruth England do a show on Discovery Channel called Man, Woman, Wild. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
I have heard about it.
He's a survivalist type guy, and she's not at all. And they go out on these different things, and I mean, they end up having to, you know, drink their own urine and all this kind of stuff like those shows you've seen. And she's not thrilled with that. And they're a couple.
I can't
How's
imagine
that gonna go?
Having to do that.
She must only do it because she wants a television show. Because she doesn't enjoy it.
I would think so, but don't you think like it's hard enough to stay married under normal circumstances? If you're getting a saltwater enema, now things are ratcheted up a little bit.
Yeah, that seems like you're putting too much stress on the marriage.
Hey, let's not do that. You know,
and
that whole thing.
She's hot,
not...
by the way. She could do better. There are a lot of dudes that would date her and never force her to give him an enema.
That's true. That's very true.
We're going to have to bring that up with her today.
All right. Also on today's show, we have Chris Pratt, who, of course, is on Parks and Recreation. He's got a couple of movies out.
Oh, he's so funny.
What's Your Number and Moneyball.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bean's Death Corner, an all-new episode of that.
Oh, okay.
People keep dying. I'm going to put the Red Sox in it.
And we're going to talk about the Michael Jackson trial, his doctor's trial, and we're going to talk to Dr. Drew about that. Dr. Drew is hopping mad.
Yeah, he is. I ended up watching some of the trial yesterday, and I hate lawyers.
Yeah. Well, you were predisposed to hate them from our own interaction with them.
Yes, that's true,
which
too.
Is always negative. So that's,
I just hate lawyers. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
For both sides?
Yeah, I hate all lawyers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So on that note, I also hate doctors that kill patients or help patients kill themselves. Either way.
Yeah, that's not good either.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Rise Against on the way. Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, my favorite, Modest Mouse. We got Foo Fighters. And that song from, what's it called, Everlast? It's it's what? It's
What's
you.
It Like?
What's It Like? Yeah, that's it. Omar's favorite from Everlast on the way right after the top of the hour, too. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on, dude?
Before I get to Showbiz news, I've got more passes to give away to our special advanced screening of 50-50 tonight.
Yay!
New movie stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen, Anna Kendrick, and more wonderful and talented performers. The story of a 27-year-old who was diagnosed with a rare form of spinal cancer and how he gets through it with the help of his best friend and his mom and a young therapist at the Cancer Center played by Anna Kendrick. Who changes his life for the better. It's a comedy, believe it or not. Yes, a comedy about cancer.
Is it as funny as, what's the TV show about?
The Big C?
Because that doesn't seem all that funny
to me. That's not it. I think it's more of a dramedy. Yeah. This is more of a comedy with a heart. If you'd like to go, we've got passes for a special advanced screening tonight. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First three callers to get through get a pair of passes. And if you don't win, you can go see the movie tomorrow in theaters everywhere. Well, you get a TV show. Maybe you lose a wife.
Uh-oh.
Trouble in Paradise for Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore. Several sources are reporting that their six-year marriage has hit the skids due to his serial infidelity, they're calling it.
So it's just not one thing. It's been going
Ashton
on the whole time.
Ashton likes to get some strange. Apparently it's been a long time coming, and now that Ashton is filming here in Los Angeles with his sitcom, and Demi Moore has been on the other coast shooting her movie, Magic Mike, they say the strain has never been stronger. In fact, if you read between the lines, there's been a lot of weird tweets going back and forth between them.
Is that right?
Including one, which is Demi on a bed with her eyes half closed with the caption, "I see through you."
Is that romantic or hateful?
People are speculating "I see through you" means that she recognizes there's some deceit going on and she's able to see it. Yeah.
Well, that is the mature way to handle your relationship, though, is on Twitter. That's certainly how Beer Mug and his girlfriend have been doing it for the last year.
Ashton reportedly told a young lady just last Friday that he was separated from Demi, but the public didn't know yet.
Okay.
So we'll have to follow that and see what happens.
They named a young lady on Access Hollywood last night, Ralph, that they said spent the night with him at a Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego.
Yeah.
So they're even they're kind of closing in on the potential cheater here.
Closing in. It's like a dragnet and guys.
Get him, get him,
SWAT
get him.
Team and tear gas guns waiting outside the window.
If you get a clear shot, take him down.
Who are TV's highest paid actresses? It's the question Forbes magazine asked, and they just released their rankings.
Nancy Grace?
Nancy Grace is not a TV actress. Here's the top TV actresses. Might not make as much money as the top movie actresses, but they're fine. Don't worry about them.
They're making
their mortgage payments. All is well. Yeah. Number 10, Juliana Margulies, making $6 million a year.
That's the good wife?
That is the good wife. Okay. Yes.
Probably deserves that. It's probably a reasonable salary for how successful that show is, right?
Courtney Cox and Ellen Pompeo are 8 and 9, respectively. They're tied, actually, for $7 million a year.
Wow.
Terry Hatcher and Felicity Huffman, both from Real Housewives.
Desperate Housewives?
Desperate Housewives are tied at $9 million. Hmm. So they're 7 and 6. There's a three-way tie between the third, fourth, and fifth, Marcia Cross, Mariska Hargitay, and Marg Helgenberger are all making $10 million a season for their work.
Wow.
And the number one, actually one and two, are both tied. So can you imagine who the two top actresses are, what they're getting paid?
Wow. Is Tina Fey on the list?
Tina Fey is.
Oh, good guess.
She is one of the girls at the top of the list.
How about Amy Poehler?
Yeah.
No.
It has to be somebody else that created the show, because that's where the money comes, I think.
Right. Yeah, you're wrong.
I'm wrong. Okay.
So not Whitney Cummings.
No, not yet. She'll be making it.
Next year.
Next year.
I don't know. Tina Fey, I don't know.
Eva Longoria.
Oh sure. Yeah. Sure, of course.
She makes that much more than the other Desperate Housewives?
Yes. Eva Longoria and Tina Fey are making $13 million.
Wow.
How about that?
It's a little surprising. Yeah.
Interesting list. Do you think more people tune into Desperate Housewives for Eva Longoria than the other housewives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's the hot one.
They put her in lingerie all the time. Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's the draw.
Have you seen the new publicity photos for the final season?
Yeah.
Of the four of them?
No.
You get to Terry Hatcher, you're like, who's that? Who's that person?
She's unrecognizable.
You don't even recognize her?
No. I don't understand what happened.
I'm not kidding when I say who's that. You look at her and you go,
I did the same
who
thing.
Who is, what actress is that?
Wow.
Who has taken the role from Terry Hatcher?
Yeah.
That's weird.
And she's...
Her hair is up.
Everything's
like, yeah,
does she look good?
No.
Or bad?
It's like they put someone else's head on her body. It's very strange. While we're talking about actresses and TV shows, congratulations to Zooey Deschanel and the cast and crew over there at New Girl. Fox has just picked them up for an entire full season.
Fantastic. That's a good show.
That'll be around all year for us to enjoy. And I got some sad TV news as well. The Today Show has announced...
Oh, I don't care.
Yes, you will.
No.
That Kathy Lee Gifford.
Oh, no.
Will be taking some time off from their famous fourth hour. You know, that's the Kathy and Hoda hour.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's the Today Show?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's the fourth hour of Today Show where they just have Kathy Lee and Hoda get together and drink. And chug nail polish and throw stuffed animals at each other.
Right.
Is she going to rehab?
What's she doing?
It's just a vacation. But the sad news is who they're replacing her with.
Oh, it's somebody we hate?
It's a lot of people we hate.
Tyra Banks?
The entire Kardashian family.
No!
Kim, Courtney, Khloe, Kris, and Bruce Jenner will all take their turns filling in for Kathy Lee Gifford next week.
Come on.
One a day. We'll get a brand new Kardashian, one a day, sitting next to Hoda for the fourth hour. So
That's no good.
They're saving Kim for Friday, by the way.
Of course they are.
In case you want to.
That's the only person anyone wants to see.
Save up your tissues.
Yeah, I really am interested in what Kim Kardashian has to say.
Like, at least she's hot.
Oh, but she's so bright.
At least she's hot.
She is an entrepreneur, I'll have you know.
That's true.
Yeah. She's a businesswoman.
That's true.
She has a very busy schedule. She has psoriasis.
Carry on. I suspect her insight on the news of the day is going to be a lot of who's that and what's that story about.
How dare you, sir.
I haven't really.
She's a national treasure.
Spent time with that show, but do they do news bean? Because it seems like they
mix
the
it up.
Fluff.
They do fluff.
Yeah,
they do.
It's like Regis and Kelly. They come on and talk about what's going on, and then they have a bunch of guests and whatnot. Sweet. It's fine. It's a fine. It's okay.
It's not. It's not okay.
It's fine.
It's awful.
From
now,
what
it's going to get awfuler.
I've seen it with the sound down, and I can't stand it. You know, it's on in the office or something. I'm looking over, going, "What kind of ridiculous story is that?"
And more TV news. This one's just for Bean. I know he'd get a kick out of it. Dane Cook has just signed his sitcom development deal.
Bean's been pushing for that.
He'll be coming to NBC with his own sitcom next fall. So we all have a little time to prepare, but we'll be able to see our Dane Cook sitcom next fall on NBC.
Oh, my.
Oh, I hope they put Dane Cook and Whitney in a solid comedy block on one night over there on NBC. Today's celebrity birthday is singer Jerry Lee Lewis is 76 years old today. Lady with the high, with the going and the nice and the piano playing.
That's Jerry
Goodness
Lewis.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Well, that's Jerry Lewis. This is Jerry Lee Lewis, different guy.
Ian McShane. How good is Ian McShane? What a great actor. 69 years old today. TV personality Bryant Gumbel is 63 years old. Andrew Dice Clay, who I found, to my amazement, very entertaining in the last season of Entourage this year. I thought he was playing himself, but I thought he was really good on it. He's 54 years old today. Natasha Gregson-Wagner, very talented actress, 41 years old. Zachary Levi, Chuck, turns 31. And Josh Farro, formerly of Paramore. He was their guitarist. Now he's in a band called Novel American. You can wish him a happy 24th birthday when you see him today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Very fine, very funny actor Chris Pratt joins us next hour. He's Andy, don't you know, on the Parks and Recreation Show, and he's in two big movies out this week as well. Also, we'll talk some more about the Michael Jackson trial and an all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up. Hey, we can put Michael Jackson in the Death Corner while we're thinking about it. It's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Not sure that's a fun topic right there, but we could, sure. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. I think Ralph is down the hall, so let's just get right into it. What do you think? Too many stories, so we got to pick one. We put them on the wheel. We've got Kittler, the cat that looks like Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the South Korean glow-in-the-dark beagle. We've got the shunned brown seal. We've got the dumpster diving.
Yes?
You can't read your own writing again.
It's my writing. Dumpster diving something bear. All right.
Okay.
We have the hairy crazy ants. We have the whale eating worms.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Toledo flag stealing squirrel. We have the giant chocoholic fish. We have the two-headed snake at odds with itself. We have, Heidi's on the wheel, Bean.
Oh, Heidi the cross-eyed German possum who died? Heidi in heaven, though, right?
It's on the wheel still. We didn't update the wheel.
We never called, but now we can call her in heaven if it lands on that.
Oh, that's sad. Well, let's get right into it, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, very excited. Let's spin the wheel and find out which phone call we're going to be making here today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, it is the two-headed snake at odds with itself.
Oh, no
kidding! Finally, I've been waiting for this one. That's awesome. All right, Bruiser.
I'm sorry, this one has been on the wheel for a while. I have the news audio if you want to hear that.
Okay.
Before we go to the
two heads, maybe better than one. Except when they don't always get along.
the albino California king snake has two heads that think, react, and eat separately, though one is more passive than the other. The head of the zoo says both heads sometimes compete with each other for food. He says they have to put a barrier between them when they feed the snake. Still, what? The zoo says snakes like this are extremely rare.
Really?
They compete for food.
They compete for food.
And they have the same body. Isn't that crazy? Let the other guy do all the work and eat the food. You still get the benefit of it.
Oh, that's true.
Right? Yeah, the zoo in Ukraine, they say that the snake like this, when he comes along every 50 years, so this is a real rarity. We asked producer Alex if she could line the snakes up to talk to us here on the Kevin Amin Show, and I believe we have the two-headed snake at odds with itself on the phone right now. Hi, guys.
Hello, how you doing?
We're very good. How are you?
We're okay, thanks.
How about the other guy?
He's fine.
All right.
So what's it like sharing a body but not agreeing on things that you want to do day-to-day? That has to be kind of a pain in the ass.
Not ideal.
Yeah. It does seem like it would cause a lot of problems. What's the biggest problem, would you say?
The biggest problem, I think, would be when we want to go in different directions.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That would be the hardest time, I think. Why don't you shut up? Why don't you shut up? Because I'm the smart
you're
one. That's
stupid.
Why.
You know what the smart one. Hey, shut up. You are so
guys,
ugly.
Guys, 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 get along. Hey.
Rip your head right
guys.
Off. You don't have one head. How about that? I'm on the phone.
Wow.
Okay. Guys, what? Can you try it? Can you try to get along just for like 2 minutes for the course of this interview, please? It's uncomfortable for us to hear you yelling at one another.
Well, look, I can't help it if Brian is upset. I have no control of it. We're very separate people.
His name is Brian. What's your name?
Mark.
Mark.
So it happens sometimes, Mark, where you'll want to go in one direction and Brian will have a different agenda for the day. He wants to go over here. And then how do you settle something like that?
Well, they rarely get settled because... Actually, Brian is just always ridiculous.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, that you are dumb. That's why. Well, anyone who knows anything about snakes would know that's ridiculous.
I am not.
You are a moron. I cannot believe I'm attached to you. I don't know if I'm attached to you. How about that? How about that?
This is sad. This is sad. Are there any benefits at all, like with the ladies, that you have two heads, two mouths?
Yeah.
That was creepy, right?
Yeah. That was creepy.
That was creepy even to say to a snake.
Even for a snake to hear that. We're known as being creepy. Hey, is there any benefit with the ladies?
No, I'm just looking for the upside of the story.
Yeah, I'm Bean.
Hang on, you know Bean?
Everybody knows. All the snake world knows Bean.
Is that right?
An honorary member of our snake because he is so creepy.
Forgive me for being optimistic and trying to look on the sunny side of the street, guys. Come on with that.
I'm leaving.
Kevin and Bean Show is on the air. Time for a brand new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head. Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
I like to clarify every once in a while. Not very often, because usually I say things, Bean gets blamed. Bean says things, I get blamed. Not everyone loves death. This is an oddity.
This is very much Bean.
This is not Kevin.
You have come to enjoy the Death Corner some just of because of the humorous nature of most of the people who die, right?
Some of it, but this feature would never have existed if it were not for Bean. Like,
well,
we
maybe,
wouldn't have come around
true.
To it eventually and gone, let's make fun of dead people.
I do think a lot, and maybe I have an issue, but I do think a lot about how I'm going to die. And I'm terrified of two things. I'm terrified of A, it's going to be really, really boring. I'm going to be one of those guys who falls asleep, you know, just falls asleep, never wakes up. That's my biggest fear in the world.
That's everybody's dream.
Yeah.
No, it's terrible. Oh, it's the worst. And B, my other fear is that it's going to be unbelievably excruciatingly painful. That's another worry. Like, I'm going to be ripped apart. Well, like in our first story on today's All New Bean's Death Corner, for instance, ripped apart by grizzly bear. I mean, that's a great example of how I don't want to go, because the last image you have on Earth is watching your body parts fly off into the woods because a bear is taking you apart.
Yeah.
God, nobody wants that, right?
And you don't know how long you can see it. It might be longer than you think.
That's true.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
That's my arm, hey.
We go to Salmon, Idaho to get us going on Bean's Death Corner. And by the way, you can read all these stories, see photos, in some cases video links, and more details at kevinandbean.com. This is a guy out hunting with his buddy Steve Stevenson, 39 years old, Winnemucca, Nevada, is out hunting on September 16th with his friend Ty Bell, who's 20, and they're looking for bear. And they think it's a black bear that they're shooting at, by the way. The worst, the one of the sad parts of the story to me is they were actually shooting at a grizzly bear, which is endangered and protected, so they're not even supposed to be able to shoot it, but they did. They shot the bear. The bear crawls off into the woods, and I hate hunting, by the way.
Right.
And I usually do root for the animals in the hunting.
Yes.
He crawls off into the woods, and they say, hey, we got him injured. Let's go after him, right? So they go after him, and the bear turns and attacks Steve. So Steve is getting mauled by a grizzly bear. The bear apparently is winning. The bear is on top of Steve. Then the bear picks up Steve and starts dragging him off into the woods, back to his lair or his cave or whatever he does.
Here's what I've found. Bear plus human equals bear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. So Steve's buddy Ty says, I got to do something about this. So he pulls out his gun, and he opens fire. He starts shooting at the bear. Hits the bear, kills the bear. One of the other shots hits his friend Steve, kills his friend Steve.
Yay!
So Steve is being mauled to death by a grizzly bear, and in his mind he's thinking, well, this sucks, but this is as bad as my day's going to get. Then his best friend starts shooting at him and gets him right in the chest and kills him.
Wow.
So that's how that story ended.
Thanks, best friend. Was his best friend's name Dick Cheney?
It was not. But how about a little less help from you? I think I'd be better off just fighting the bear without also having to dodge gunfire from you. So anyway, the story was originally reported as death by a bear, by the way, but now they've done the autopsy and they realize, no, it was the buckshot to the chest that killed the bear.
The guy might have survived the bear attack? Wow.
He might have. We move on now to the Ukraine. A 77-year-old man in the news, he entered a dumpling-eating contest. That's not a sport you generally see the elderly participating in, is it?
No. It's always young people when they have the world championships in Vegas.
Exactly. And you watch the Conan and hot dog and stuff. Those guys are always like in their 20s or 30s. He's 77. He's in the Ukraine. And I was wondering, of course, as usual, there's not enough information here, if he was just hungry, if that was just it, he just showed up because he wanted a meal.
He hadn't eaten in 2 weeks.
He ate 10 dumplings in 30 seconds. He won first place in the competition. The prize, by the way, for winning first place was a jar of sour cream. So for a minute there, he was very happy. A 1 liter jar of sour cream was what the
that
first
was
prize
the
was.
The whole first prize?
Yes, exactly. And bragging rights, of course. Around his little village in Ukraine.
They must love sour cream.
So he's 77. He wins the contest. He gets delivered his sour cream. He's as happy as probably he's ever been. And then he became unwell and died on the spot. That was the end of him. His last meal was 10 dumplings that he ate in 30 seconds.
But he won.
But he did win. I mean, he went out a winner. You got to give it to him. He went out a winner.
Sure.
Here's a story very similar to one we had earlier in the summer. You remember we told you about the guy in South Africa who was pronounced dead, then sent to the morgue and woke up inside the morgue and started screaming? Remember how it freaked everybody out? They thought they had ghosts?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
It has happened again, this time to a woman in her 60s in Brazil. Her name is Rosa Celestrino de Assis. She was in the hospital for pneumonia and unfortunately passed away, or at least that's what she was pronounced by her doctor and nurse. They wrapped her in plastic and sent her off to the morgue. They put her on the slab and put her in the wall. They called her family. They came down. The daughter went to hug and kiss mom goodbye last time in the morgue and then started screaming after she could feel that her mother was still breathing. My mom is alive! They all looked at me like I was crazy, said her daughter. How crazy is that? Can you imagine if that's you and that happens? Well, in case you're wondering, the doctor resigned after the story and the nurse who pronounced her dead was fired. Last we heard, this woman was resting comfortably at home. So not quite dead yet.
Woke up in the wall.
Not dead yet.
That's
in the
crazy.
Wall. Yeah. And finally, and this story is especially sad because you always hate to see the brave men and women of the military when they perish. They give so much. You never want to see this happen. This guy's in the Royal Australian Air Force. His name is Mike Dunn. He had been a sergeant. He'd been in the service for 27 years, and he was involved in some military exercises with U.S. troops at an airport down there doing some sort of combat exercises. When around 9:30 at night a couple of weeks ago, nature called, and he went into the porta potty. Now, I don't know the specifics of what ended up happening, but I do know that he lit a cigarette in the porta potty.
And something must
have been combustible because it blew up sky high and killed him. Now,
what a
is
way to
that,
go.
They're still doing the investigation. They thought maybe there might have been some fuel in the air because of the exercises going on at the airport with the planes and whatnot, and maybe that may have made it a little bit combustible.
Wow.
Or who knows? Maybe the guy just had the worst gas of his life. Who knows what was going on? Who knows if he didn't provide his own combustible?
But how much gas would he have to add to that equation?
I don't know.
I mean,
come on. Imagine you're in the Air Force for 27 years. You're a combat veteran.
You got to be a stud, right? You got to be tough.
You got to be tough. Imagine you've survived everything that Charlie was able to throw at you, and then boom, you die in an exploding porta potty.
Pretty sure it wasn't Charlie, but okay.
Well, whoever it was that he was fighting, I don't know. But you never. That's not what you want to be remembered for. No. That's not the last thing you want people to hear about you is, yeah, he died on the crapper. It exploded, right? Yeah.
And it's hard to give that guy a medal.
Whatever that word is.
Yes.
It's hard to remember him as anything other than the way he died, even though he lived a good life before that. So you can see all these stories at KevinandBean.com. This has been an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Actor Chris Pratt joins us from Parks and Recreation and Moneyball and another brand new movie right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Moneyball.
It's not that kind of Moneyball. First, though, Ralph is here for the show Biz Beat. What's going on?
I just want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night, Friday night, it's the triumphant return of Kevin Smith to Hollywood Babylon tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Podcast Theater up on City Walk at Universal.
I've marked my calendar every Saturday night.
Usually it is Saturday. What? This particular weekend, it is Friday night, however. Tomorrow night.
But I've freed up Saturday night.
Friday night at 10 p.m. It is Kevin Smith returning to Hollywood Babylon, the show we do where we make fun of a lot of people who have better careers and make more money than we do. It's basically Showbiz Beat with a lot more cursing and a lot more drinking and smoking of substances.
I like your desire to keep people guessing and to make sure that it doesn't get too popular. You don't want to gain a foothold with something like this.
Listen, Smith is a very busy man. I serve at the pleasure of the president. I just have to kind of put on shows when he's available.
Next week, Wednesday at noon.
No, it's always a Friday or Saturday night. Usually Saturday.
This week it's Friday.
All right.
Isn't this like those hipster nightclubs that have to move all over town because people get bored if it's in the same location for 3 weeks?
We're like a comedy rave.
There you go.
You have to find out where we're being held and what
time. Just look for the flyers.
What the password is. So bring your glow sticks tomorrow night to the John Lovitz Theater at Universal and see me and Kevin Smith at 10 p.m. And we'll have a good time, I promise. Just saying. This makes me angry. This makes me furious.
What?
Remember the time?
Yeah. I think. Is
Mars
that
Day and the Time? Yeah. Prince's band. They were in Purple Rain. They used to tour with him. They had their own smash hits, Jungle Love.
The Bird.
Jesse. Now Jerome. The Time. I love The Time.
They were awesome. And they had the guy who just holds the mirror up to Morris Day while he's singing.
That's right.
That's his only job.
Anyway, they're getting back together again. The original members of the band, Morris Day, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, Jesse Johnson, Jerome Benton, releasing their first new album in a long, long time.
I can't wait.
But here's the thing.
Oh, wait, not interested.
Yes, you are interested, first of all. And second of all, they can't use the name The Time. They can't call themselves The Time anymore.
What? Come on.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Further delivery.
Because Prince put the group together in 1981, he owns the rights to the name and refuses to let them use it.
That's bitchy.
Why?
What the hell does he need with The Time? Why does he have to hold on to that name? In case seven other guys come along in purple zoot suits and jerry curls that he wants to slap together into a band? Is he reserving that right?
It doesn't make any sense at all. He can't use it for anything.
Right.
Let them have it.
Right.
Let them have it.
And he's got all the money he needs. There's no need for it. They asked him for permission to put The Time on their new album, and he said,
no. Skinny little bitch.
That's right. That's little crazy bitch said no. I'm so upset. So they're calling themselves now the Original Seven, which is a horrible name.
It's the worst. Just go with Morris Day.
Well, I guess the rest of the guys in the band are like, hey, what about us? We're not Mars Day. We're The Time.
Why aren't they the new Time?
Oh, the new Time would be great. It's about time.
Good time.
Out of time.
Good times. A lot of better names than the Original
time
Seven.
Time after time.
Original Seven. They're not going to make it either way, so who cares? Really?
Wow, Kevin, you got no heart,
I'm just saying.
New album will be out on October the
18th. People go see The Time, don't you guys think?
I think it'd
be fun.
If they were like playing down the street from my house.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you're in Vegas,
convenient for me.
If you're in Vegas and you're drunk,
Then you go, hey, the time's playing.
You might,
yeah. Jungle Love.
If they're not doing those two songs, though, I'm back out playing the
Well, they're
tables.
Doing those songs, I'm right. sure. But
only.
They have a new album
nope.
called Condensate. It's called Condensate.
They are bad at names, aren't they?
They are bad.
It's just poorly named in every stretch.
Yes.
Kevin, you don't remember their big hit, 777-9311? Remember that one? That was another great time song.
No.
You've got to bring in some time, Ralph.
I don't remember
Ralph
that.
Remember it either.
If I heard it, I might remember
it. Wasn't a big hit.
Big hit.
I hate to argue with Beat on this stuff because he always knows big hits, but I'm saying no.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was sort of rude of Prince to do that to the time.
He's a little dick.
Wow.
He really is.
Wow. I don't know if he deserves that.
He's a little dick.
All right. You're going to find this hard to believe, but GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
Who are they upset with now?
They, every year, do a survey of broadcast television networks and determine the number of gay characters seen on those networks.
Right.
And they give, obviously, high ratings to networks that have a lot of gay characters and lesser so to those that have fewer. You'd right. be surprised what network this year they found out has the fewest gay characters on broadcast television.
Fewest. Even though...
Fewest gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender characters on TV.
Even though I think ABC has Modern Family, is that right?
Yes.
I think it would be ABC still.
No, it's Fox.
Fox
has the least gay characters on broadcast television.
Isn't that dude on Glee, doesn't he?
That's the network of Glee. I was just thinking that.
Isn't that one guy, doesn't he count for like seven other shows?
Apparently not. Huh. They're giving heat to Fox, saying that they don't have enough gay characters. ABC was the previous low rung on the gay totem pole.
Is there a gay totem pole?
I don't think there are rungs on a totem pole. Let alone a gay totem pole.
Point.
I think there's only rungs on a ladder.
All
but
right.
Yeah, so they're upset with Fox for not having more gay characters. Here's the interesting part, and I thought this was a fascinating tidbit. There are just 3% of characters on television that are gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. 3%.
Hmm.
That's low.
That's low compared to the real life percentage in the country.
How many people in real life are gay or bisexual? So.
But I bet what's the black? You probably don't have it in front of you, but I wonder how accurate the black ratio is on television compared to America.
Well.
I think that's probably pretty low. Also,
yeah.
Most shows have one black guy.
Yeah, it's true. And The New Girl, they just swapped out black guys,
like no one would notice.
Yeah, they had a black guy in the pilot, and they just replaced him with another black guy for the rest of the season.
That was really weird.
You're kidding?
They changed the name. I mean, one guy was Coates, the other guy's now Winston, but still, it was pretty much the black guy character. They just kind of swapped out and put a new black guy in.
Huh.
If I had been allowed to speak with Zooey Deschanel, I was going to bust her on why she thinks all black people are interchangeable, but I wasn't allowed to do that.
Well, I do believe that Damon Wayans Jr., by the way, who would have ever thought that he would be the funniest member of the Wayans family ever?
That's not saying much, though.
I know, but you still. Know. I mean, four generations later, they finally got a funny one.
Yeah.
But he's really good, but I believe he had taken another TV series in the interim between the pilot of The New Girl and when they started into production, when they got the order for the series, so I think that's why he's no longer on it. But he was real good in the pilot, but the new guy's good, too.
Yeah.
Tony Bennett finally has a number one album. Can you believe
that?
He's never had a number one album before? The guy's been making albums since 1957.
I've really been following his career with number
but
one
you know
albums.
He's been around forever.
He's been around forever, yeah.
I just thought, I found it surprising that it wasn't until this new album, Duets 2, that he's got with Amy Winehouse and a bunch of other modern artists. This is his first number one album debut ever.
And even if he hadn't been making records for 50 years, the fact that an 85-year-old has the number one album in America is notable.
Yeah, it would be surprised. And is. What does that mean, Beer Mark?
Wrap it up!
Whoop-de-doo? Oh, wrap it
up.
Oh,
right, because we got a guest coming up.
Okay. Birthdays, look them up yourself. It's your birthday. You want to know who else was born on this day? Just Google it. What the hell? What do I look like? Search engine? F you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Who's hotter than Chris Pratt right now, by the way?
You mean who's hot like sexy or hot career-wise?
Well, he's not a bad-looking guy. I wasn't going to bring that up. But who's got one of the best shows on TV in Parks and Recreation and is in two of the big movies of the fall? We're talking about What's Your Number, which opens everywhere on Friday, and, of course, Moneyball, which is a huge hit right now in theaters. Chris Pratt, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
What's up, Kevin and Bean? How you guys doing?
We are good.
We're doing great. You're one of those guys that you're such a lovable doofus on the TV. I'm always surprised when I see you interviewed on actual shows and I realize you're just a good actor. You're not actually a doofus in real life. So congratulations.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I am. I'm a total doofus in real life.
Wait, I'm sorry. You're congratulating him on not being a doofus?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. Because you know what it's like. I'm sure this happens to you all the time, Chris. People come up to you and they think you are the crazy shoe sign kid, you know, from Parks and Recreation, and they're surprised to find out that you actually are way different. That's my point. Is
I take it as a compliment. People say, man, you're basically exactly like the character you play on Parks and Recreation.
Oh, you don't want to hear that.
I'm like, really? The guy who lived in a pit? Like the homeless shoe shine guy? That's who you think I am? Oh, well, okay. Well, maybe I'm a good actor or something.
Thank you, I think.
We want to talk about these movies, but since we're such huge Parks fans, I have to ask you. I mean, the show has become a huge hit, and it's one of the most, you know, critically acclaimed and reliable comedies on the schedule on any network. In the early days of the show, when you guys were first getting up and running, a lot of people said, oh, this show's never going to make it. I mean, did you feel that at the time, that it had trouble at the beginning and then just figured out how to make it work and get awesome?
You know, yeah. I mean, there are various stages of television, and especially if you're involved in creating it, it starts at the table read, and that's where you have all the actors sitting around reading the script, and every one of our table reads has been really, really funny. And in the beginning, I remember watching the premiere thinking, oh, I cannot wait to see this, and then I saw it, and I thought that we missed something, that maybe we lost something in the translation or in the execution from table to stage to what aired on television. I thought we were missing something, and apparently so did other people, you know, and so I felt that, but I knew that we had something really funny, and I think it was just a matter of really kind of fine-tuning what it was, and, you know, some of the cast changed. They added Adam Scott and Rob Lowe, both of whom are
great, amazing, yeah,
cast, and so I mean, I liked what we had before, but I can speak to this because I'm also a fan of the show, which isn't always the case with things that I do. You know, I can't really watch the things I can't always watch the things that I do.
Right.
Other than just a participant, but I think I would watch the show even if I wasn't on it. I'm just really a fan of it, and so I've noticed as a fan the show has gotten better.
You're absolutely right, and it's infectious enthusiasm. You can tell that Amy Poehler is having such a great time doing it. You can tell, you know, Rob Lowe, his character is just joyful on screen. I mean, it really does translate. So congratulations. You guys are doing amazing work. And now the problem is going to be, how do we keep Chris Pratt on our show when he's a big-time movie star? What's up with you, man? You're blowing up.
this is just one of those rare things where some of the work you've done over – you know, the past year sort of all comes out at the same time, and this is a good time. It's a good moment. I think I'll look back on it in the future.
Those of you that saw Moneyball, you would recognize him, of course, as Scott Hatterberg, who was made into a first baseman, who was literally a catcher, and then they came to his house and said, "Hey, we want you to play first base." Well, you'll hear a little bit. This is Brad Pitt and Chris Pratt.
How you liking first base, man?
It's coming along, picking it up. You know. Tough transition, but I'm starting to feel better with it.
What's your biggest fear?
A baseball being hit in my general direction.
That's funny. Seriously, what is it?
No, seriously, that is.
Was that unbelievably fun to play and to do that movie, Chris?
It was. It was really fun. It was incredibly rewarding in a different way than what I'm used to with something like Parks and Recreation. I mean, this is something that's, you know, that scene that you played, it plays for laughs and provides levity to a film that's otherwise pretty artistic and dramatic. And so it was an opportunity to do something that was a little different than what I've done before. So it was definitely a lot of fun. I mean, not to mention the fact that Brad Pitt is on set, and that's sort of just a dreamy prospect.
Sure.
whom I've adored since, you know, before I ever even knew I would be an actor. And so, it was really fun.
What's Your Number is the next one. That comes out on Friday. This is you and your beautiful bride, Anna Faris, are in this movie together.
That's right, yeah. This is Anna's movie. She's terrific in it. It's hilarious and raunchy and sort of in the vein of Bridesmaids or Bad Teacher. It's an R-rated, female-driven romantic comedy, and it's got Chris Evans, who was Captain America, and to all the ladies out there, you will see him shirtless.
There you go.
All right.
He knows how to sell a movie.
Chris knows what he's doing.
Also, I always get so cagey when it's something that I'm in and I'm talking about it, but when it's Anna's movie, I'm like, listen,
yeah,
you need to go see this movie.
We love Anna anyway, but tell us the storyline.
Well, the storyline is based on a book, the story is essentially a woman who slept with 20 guys, and she reads an article in Marie Claire magazine that says, hey, listen, if you sleep with 20 guys or more than 20 guys, you're 90% less likely to get married. And so she kind of freaks out realizing she's been with 20 guys, and in the process runs into a guy, me, Disgusting Donald, who when she dated him was 400 pounds and now a svelte 250, and she thinks, wow, but he's got a fiance, and she says, you know, maybe some of these guys have gotten better with time, and maybe I don't need to go over 20, and there's still hope for me to find a meaningful relationship.
At any point, I'm sorry to interrupt, at any point in that process, did you roll over in bed one day and say, hey, is there anything available besides Disgusting Donald?
Oh, no, don't get me wrong, I auditioned for the Chris Evans role.
She's like, I don't buy you in it.
I'll audition, and then they got back to me and said, you know, well, it turns out, you know, Chris Evans, yeah, Captain America, yeah, he's going to play that. But we do have the role of Disgusting Donald.
Oh, awesome. All right.
You're going to fly me out to see my wife on set, then I'll do it.
All right. We know you have to go. What's Your Number opens everywhere tomorrow. Moneyball's in theaters now, and Parks and Recreation airs Thursday nights at 8:30 on NBC. Chris, keep doing the good work, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Kevin DeBean, thank you so much, man. I'm a huge fan. It's so cool to be on your show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Hey!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 24 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin DeBean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in moments here on the program. He is pretty hot under the collar about doctors being besmirched because of Dr. Conrad Murray's behavior in the Michael Jackson case. I watched some of that trial yesterday. They had MJ's personal assistant on and also a security guy, and I started a little drinking game. Every time one of them says the word axe instead of ask, I take a shot. And I'm telling you, I was blottoed by like 2 p.m. It was pretty fun. But you've been watching the trial.
I wish that was true.
you've been watching the trial, too, and there's something that you've latched onto, and you're the only person, Kevin, that I've heard with this crazy theory. We should have had Omar come up with a jingle for us. Kevin has a thought.
This isn't a thought.
He gets a thought, he's like a dog with a bone, my friends. He will just not let go of it. It happens so rarely that he really has to commit.
It's difficult when you're the only one with the insight.
Yes,
I know. I find that to be a difficult life.
All right, why don't you enlighten us?
You see the signs out in front of the Michael Jackson trial.
Yes.
All of the Michael Jackson fans are out there, and they got all their little handmade signs, and they put pictures on it, and they're all angry. They're crazy, by the way. Don't get me wrong. Crazy fans. Okay. Then you see the other side, which is the equal amount of Dr. Murray supporters. Mm-hmm. That doesn't strike anybody as odd, that people are going to go down there and hold signs for a doctor who, at the very least, had stuff in Michael Jackson's house that wasn't allowed to be in Michael Jackson's house. At the very least.
So
people are going to be passionate enough for a doctor who's based in Las Vegas and Houston to go down to the trial to make sure their signs are read. I don't buy it. I think the defense attorneys, who are probably very smart, know there's going to be crazy Michael Jackson fans out there. And print up a bunch of signs to make sure that their guy is equally represented out in front. I don't buy it. I think it's fake. It's fake.
You mentioned yesterday, it's impossible that anyone would actually be out there in front of the courthouse supporting Dr. Murray.
That's what you said yesterday.
It's
not going to be many. It's going to be a couple
it's
of
impossible.
People. Right?
It's impossible. It's impossible, Kevin
if
says.
If he was my doctor, I would say to myself, wow, I need to look for another doctor. I wouldn't go down there with a sign.
Or you might think he's being set up to take the fall. If he helped unjustly
accused, some might say.
Yeah. What if he saved your life?
But you're telling me, Kevin, you find it hard to believe that there's some people who ignore the facts of a trial and just go with their emotion and support outside a courtroom? As there were signs supporting O.J. Simpson, as there were signs supporting...
But O.J. Simpson is different because he was the only person in that case. He murdered them. He didn't murder them. Here, this is a doctor that did or didn't involuntary manslaughter. That's the charge, right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't buy that people are going to go down there with signs and say, hey, I support Dr. Murray, fair trial.
Don't you
think
there are friends or family or coworkers or people who know him that would go out and try to show support for this guy if they care about him, regardless of whatever the facts are?
No.
No, that's not possible.
It's not possible.
You are insane.
All right, here's my proof. And it's not really proof.
Oh, you have proof.
No,
oh,
I didn't realize you had proof. When I say proof, it just means another theory.
Okay.
All right. You look at all the signs, and you can go to kevinandbean.com right now, and there's a photo gallery.
Mm-hmm.
All the signs for Michael Jackson are handmade, and they've got pictures.
A lot
and
of glitter.
They're very passionate. Some are glitter.
Bedazzled.
Some are bedazzled. One of them has, like, Christmas lights on it. They're clearly crazy.
Yes.
All of the other ones are perfect. The Dr. Murray ones, they're perfect. The lettering is all the same. It's all level. Mm. It's all made professionally.
Right.
Yeah.
It's as if it's somehow choreographed by the defense team. Mother effers!
So only a defense team can organize a group of people. Only lawyers can organize people and give out signs. It has to be the lawyers. It couldn't be a group of supporters of Murray that got together and put out those signs and handed it out to other supporters.
I find it highly unlikely. As a matter of fact, I find it impossible to believe. It's impossible to believe.
It's impossible that a church group knows where a Kinko's is and can possibly, you know, type something into a computer and isn't a fan living in the backseat of the car.
Let's hear Lisa.
No,
what?
I'm kind of with Kevin.
Thank you.
Mean, I think these lawyers would absolutely do something
if
like
you're
that.
A defense lawyer and you really do, you are afraid that your client's going to get an unfair trial. They're really smart, these defense lawyers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How is it so hard to believe that they would go sit in a conference room
saying,
let's come up with some signs to make sure there's equal signage?
That's not hard to believe.
I'm not saying that's an impossibility. I'm not saying that's an impossibility.
No, I'm saying that's 99% what happened.
No, it's a possibility.
It's both. Can't you understand it's both? That possibly, yes, the defense is very
It's true. Not both because all the signs are so uniform.
Maybe
I just find it ridiculous that you think it's impossible that there are people who are friends and family of this man who are outside the court supporting him.
Where did they get the signs from? Because they all got made by the same person. They all got made by the same person.
Possibly
look at the photos.
One person was assigned as a group. Maybe they have a Facebook chat and they all got together and said, hey, Kelly, can you make the signs?
Impossible to believe.
And then Kelly distributes them out to people?
Impossible to believe.
True. How could they spend the tens of dollars it must have cost to make those posters?
I'm just saying it's the lawyers who set it up, they made the signs, and they hired people or got friends of his. Like, one of them was his assistant that's actually on the witness list.
To what end?
To make sure that their client gets a fair trial.
To influence it how?
Just to counteract the other signs out in front of the trial.
Why for?
public interest. Whatever.
Wait, who's on trial here now?
Public interest in what?
Yeah. Why is anyone out there on the sign?
When they do the national vote with the checkbox in USA Today,
of course they don't do that. But they try
a deal?
But they try to influence public opinion just like everything else is just like the Michael Jackson people are trying to do.
Michael Jackson people are just sad loons.
Yeah.
They're loons. No question. I love them for being loons.
They differentiate themselves and go, look, we're not crazy. We're not putting sparkly signs together and camping out in a tent.
But all of ours are identical.
And No, it's...
Yet they have interviewed these people, Kevin, and these people have told about their relationship with
these people $10 an hour to stand out in front of the trial. That's my accusation.
Let's say I was friends with Dr. Murray and his family, and I wanted to show my support. I don't have time to make a sign. If someone says, hey, look, you show
how
up, but
badly
you have time
do you...
to be
Wait
out
a
there
minute.
All day.
Yeah, if someone invited me to that, we're going down there to show our support.
Yeah,
we're going to have, we're going to take a bus down there. We've got signs. They hand them out, and they put them in front of the courthouse. Why is that so impossible to believe?
An organized campaign.
By the defense.
I did that in seventh grade to run for, you know, school treasurer.
By the defense, though. You have to admit it.
No, I don't have to admit anything. I'm saying there's a possibility that it could be a combination of both.
I'm not saying
I'm not ruling out the possibility that there aren't friends and family out there supporting him.
Look, he may be a bad dude.
I refuse to believe
he
your impossibility theory.
He may be a horrible human being, but even bad people have friends and patients that love them. Perhaps he saved someone's
life.
Right,
but they didn't make the signs.
Why are you so hung up on the stupid signs?
Because that's the clue, people. You're missing. You're looking over
signs.
The clue.
You got
the
signs. Hey, guys.
Hey, we're talking
what?
Here.
What?
Hey, guys. Guys.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Dr. Drew is standing by. We're going to talk to him next. Maybe we'll see what he thinks about Kevin's thought when we
it's
return right
after
this.
By the way, I think Kevin I just got proof.
Yes.
It's impossible.
It's
I'm
impossible.
Pretty sure I just proved.
Time to wake up, sir.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
No es bueno.
K-Rock.
No es bueno, 735.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Always a pleasure to welcome our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky back to the show. He, of course, is the host of the Dr. Drew Show on HLN. That's the CNN Headline News weeknights at 9. And the Life Changers on CW every afternoon. And, of course, Love Line 2. Hey, Drew, how are you, man?
Hey, Bean.
Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking the time, first of all. We have many things to discuss with you about this crazy Michael Jackson trial, but I want Kevin to run his theory by you real fast first to see what your thoughts are.
All right.
Oh, really? the signs out in front that are supporting Dr. Murray are out there because of the defense lawyer. They did it. They printed them. They put them out there so that it would appear that Dr. Murray has as much support as Michael Jackson.
I think it's even it's along those lines. I think you're absolutely right.
Ha!
And here because Jane
suck Velez, it, Bean.
But listen,
I didn't say anything.
All right. But listen, Jane Velez went out there and interviewed some of those people, and it was like it was Dr. Murray's former administrative assistant, and it was one of his patients, and it's sort of his little community that had supported him turned out to I don't know if the defense team encouraged them or not.
Yeah, of course they did, Dr. Drew.
They certainly didn't discourage them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's sort of his little community that turned out.
Dr. Drew, is there any defense for how Dr. Conrad Murray handled the events? Forget leading up to, but just on the night of Michael Jackson's death, is there any explanation that you can see as a physician that he could hold his head high and say, yeah, I did my job?
No. I mean, as Kevin would say, no bueno. No bueno. it's really... The combination of medicines that he was taking, the lack of attention, the lack of monitoring equipment, so much of this is you can't even believe what you're hearing as a physician. And, you know, it's funny. I was listening to Tom Sizemore last night on Joy Behar's show, and he summed it up really, you know, sometimes recovering people can kind of see through the smoke. And he said, you know, he goes, look, this guy's just getting paid to break the law. He was getting paid to traffic medication across state lines, ridiculous amounts. He was getting paid to give this guy what he wanted. He clearly was getting it all along, and he accepted the responsibility of doing something that wasn't good. In his mind, he probably thought, well, I can come in there and wean him off, and I'll have a good impact on him. Ultimately, I'll take this on for the time being.
Right.
But you can't do that. That's just not how it works. And unfortunately, a cardiologist is just not trained to handle a complex situation like the situation for Michael Jackson.
And I'm glad you brought up that he's a cardiologist. I guess I'd forgotten about that until your show last night when you pointed out that one of the most damning bits of evidence in the courtroom yesterday was either Michael's assistant or head of security said, yeah, after Michael failed, after his body failed on him, and it was obvious that he was in trauma and going down, Dr. Murray starts saying to the room, hey, does anyone know CPR? Now, doesn't it seem like Dr. Murray should be the best person in the world to have in the event of some sort of heart failure?
No, you guys misinterpreted what I was saying. That's the one defensible thing, because when you walk into a room and you're in a medical emergency, the first thing you do goes, who knows what they're doing? Who knows CPR? Do you know CPR? Come here. You know CPR? Come here. That's what you're trained to do.
You would do that?
Listen.
Don't you know it?
Because you need them to help you.
Right. You're trained to first thing is before you initiate CPR, find out your resources. Who in the room knows what they're doing? Get them involved. Send the other ones to call. Well, here's where he failed. You send the other ones to call 911. You call 911. You do CPR with me. Let's go. And that's sort of him doing that. But then he didn't take him off the bed. He didn't put a hard surface under him. He actually was overheard saying he never had done mouth-to-mouth, which is bizarre. And so, you know, there was other things that unfortunately they didn't focus on that were much more damning.
Okay, the timeline is starting to become clearer to us as a result of the testimony this week of the Michael Jackson trial. And if you're just joining us in the Kevin Bean Show, we're talking to our friend Dr. Drew about what's been unfolding. Is the primary mistake he made not calling 911 immediately, making any other phone call, Drew?
That is a primary mistake, but he could say, you know, the primary mistake was giving this girl those drugs.
I mean,
listen, in my world, you never, first of all, I had a colonoscopy last weekend. I know that's too much information.
I don't need to know that.
I know that. No, Kevin, again, no bueno.
Okay.
But I had 2 milligrams of midazolam, Versed, for that. And I heard the doctor call out for it. The next thing I knew, it was 2 hours later.
Right.
And I was screwed up for like 36 hours. I couldn't come out of it. It messed me up for a while. Michael received 6 milligrams of that, plus I think another 6 milligrams of IV Ativan, plus the propofol. That would put the three of us to sleep for a couple of days. No problem.
So
no problem.
Dr. Murray administered all that, and then there's discussion that Michael was taking some stuff on his own that Dr. Murray didn't know about?
That's where it gets weird. Of course, that's the defense just trying to throw up a smokescreen. What he claims he gave of the propofol doesn't really match up with what they found in his blood. And so that's, I think, where they're trying to create reasonable doubt.
I see.
So,
is it possible that he could have woken up and seen the syringe that was still attached to his IV and given himself a fatal dose?
No, because by the time he pushed a tiny bit in, he'd be asleep again. And so, but here's the real crux of it. It doesn't matter because the magnitude and again, in my world of addiction medicine, you never combine benzodiazepine, which is the Ativan and the midazolam, with a barbiturate, which is propofol, because it's guaranteed to make somebody stop breathing. So we never, ever, ever do that. So even if it was a small amount, it was so reckless that that's where they really need to focus themselves. It just doesn't matter. It's just so ridiculous.
Dr. Drew, what was your reaction as a doctor when you heard the voicemail that came out from Michael Jackson sounding unbelievably doped up a few days ago?
My kind of reaction was like, oh, there we go. Okay, now it starts to make sense, doesn't it? I mean, that he'd been, and there was reports, Sanjay Gupta was telling me that there's good evidence that he'd been receiving this kind of medication for a long time. And when people are on these kinds, like when they take Ambien, they get up and they do things and they regret it later. This is one of those moments when he was taking the stuff and got up and started talking to people.
But how do you give that guy that you heard on that tape another drop of anything ever?
Well, because if you don't put him in an environment where he can go through a drug withdrawal, because he's hired him to do that. He's paid him a ton of money to continue this ridiculous, quote, therapy. And in his mind, again, oh, I'm going to taper him off. Well, yes, in fact, what you would do, if propofol was the only drug he was taking, which I doubt that, you would switch him over to something like Ativan, but you would do it in a very controlled environment, in a hospital, with a team. And this is just the doing it alone and not having done it before and not understanding the complexities is really the lunacy here, where he got way into trouble.
Can you speak for a moment about what you know about the mystery cream that Michael Jackson had at his bedside that Dr. Murray didn't want the world to know about?
I don't think we want to hear this either.
No, I tried to think of who's obsessed with this, Bean or Kevin?
That was Bean.
And the only thing, I've scrolled through every cream I could think of that would be that embarrassing, and I think he's just going back to clean up the mess, you know, to try to cover up, frankly.
Okay, last question for you from your HLN show last night. I didn't see the whole show, but at some point you had a family friend on, and if I'm not mistaken, his name was something like the Majestic Magnificent or something like that?
That was his name. He was Majestic Magnificent. Yes, he was awesome.
Love
he was,
it. You have a job where you go into work and talk to a guy named the Majestic Magnificent.
I don't know how to answer that, Kevin.
Yeah.
Because I know what your guy's job is.
Of course. We love that part about it.
So, I do have that job. And the guy was awesome. He's a good friend of Joe Jackson's, and he's known Michael since childhood. And he was a pretty colorful gentleman. He was very interesting.
Most of us believe that O.J. Simpson was guilty and went innocent. Is it possible for the defense to convince the jury that it was just a mistake, or to put enough doubt in their minds that he'll walk?
I have talked to attorneys that think, you know, it only takes one person on the jury, and I've talked to people that think that kind of thing at least might get close. On the other hand, I've talked to plenty of other attorneys and judges who feel like he was actually undercharged. They should have been charged for murder one. And
but
the
you have to prove intent.
No, you don't have to prove intent. And it can be strictly, it can be an accident. You know, and he, because he's undercharged, this is a slam dunk.
Yeah, I'd rather see undercharged than overcharged, because overcharged, you can get caught and we don't think there's enough evidence, well, and then he walks.
That was what I said. I asked Nancy Grace that last night. I said, isn't this the Casey Anthony effect? She said, no, because the charges had been established before Casey Anthony was acquitted. But, yeah, it's a situation. I also asked, why didn't he plead bargain? I mean, it's so much against him. Yeah. And they were saying they undercharge and just they're going for the maximum.
By the way, the max is 4 years?
Yep.
This is all about 4 year max.
I know.
Wow.
I
would have killed Michael Jackson myself if I knew there was only 4 years. That's great.
Why spend all this time and energy and taxpayer dollars? Why don't you just go in and just say no contest?
Wow.
Dr. Drew is doing a great job every night at 9 or 6, really, for us on the West Coast on the Dr. Drew HLN show. Life Changers airs at 3 on the CW. And of course, check your local listings for Loveline all across this great country. Yes, Drew.
Thank you so much for retwittering that humiliating photo.
Oh, I did too. That was great.
Oh, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Drew, is there anything else before you go that you want to say about the trial? Because you seem to be totally on fire about it, or have we covered it?
No, you covered it pretty well.
Okay.
I mean, it's something that I'm going to be covering every day, and I'll be watching it very carefully. And it's one of these, you know, the one of the most important, famous people in history was dead because of this horrible situation. It's complicated. There's a lot to be learned, and there's going to be a lot of outrage, I think, if justice isn't served.
Right. And by justice, you mean he's not found guilty.
I found, yeah.
So.
All right. Give me 1 minute, kids, then go immediately to my Twitter page. I'm going to retweet the photo Drew was just referencing in case you missed it the first time around. Drew, have a great week, man. We'll talk to you next time.
How dare you.
I see that our next guests are here
Yes.
from the man, woman, Wild. Drink My Pee Show or whatever it's called?
It's not called that.
What's it called? What's the show called? Man,
Woman, Man, Woman, Woman Wild.
Wild. Wild. That's what it is. Yeah.
I rented that once. That was a great, great
I bet you did. Yeah. Fascinating. We have to break them up. We have to get her to move on and find a better man, right? Like that's going
to
be our goal.
Like he's not trying to do that with the show. Who's a better
maybe
man?
So.
The guy can be dropped in the middle of the rainforest in the Amazon and then survive. Who's better than that?
Anyone that won't take you there.
Exactly. Anyone who doesn't force you to give him an enema, that's who's a better man.
Drinking iguana blood, and it's just awesome. It's quite the date.
We will discuss right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network coming on later, too. Right now, time for Ralph. It's Showbiz Beat Time.
Can't wait for the show Eisen's talking about. Football
It doesn't
life.
Look good to me. I'm not into it. I'm just saying that because it's the Eagles.
Yeah, I know you are.
Sorry.
Story of Jerome Brandon and Reggie White, legendary defensive tackles for the Eagles in the late 80s, early 90s, and their close brotherhood and how they both passed away way too early.
It looks great.
Yeah, great story, and I'm looking forward to that film. Anyone else? No?
Yeah,
that's a great series they're doing over there on NFL Network, by the way, Football Life. They did one with Belichick, which was fascinating, because here's a guy who never opens up to anyone about anything.
And did he?
They mic'd him and had cameras following him around and just documented his whole life, pretty much. You know,
subtitles? You got
on and off
saying?
The field. No, he was very forthcoming. I thought it was interesting stuff. Let's talk about television, shall we? Congratulations to Zooey Deschanel and her new show, New Girl. Fox has just announced they're picking it up for a full season, so we'll be able to watch that show for the remainder of the year. No worries, people.
Fantastic. That's a good show.
Hope I get a chance to talk to her one day.
Nope, we got that creepy filter,
sorry.
So that's never going to happen. Yeah,
we have to protect them from you, Bean.
Inexplicably, Daily Variety also says that Two Broke Girls and Whitney have also been picked up for a full season.
Really?
Yes.
That is a surprise.
Yeah, it is. Hope springs eternal, I guess.
But, I mean, they benefit from being on the strongest night of comedy for those networks, you know? The Two Broke Girls Monday night on CBS, and then the Whitney's part of that Thursday night NBC juggernaut lineup. So,
yeah.
I guess they're being held up.
I suppose. I think the networks are being held up at gunpoint in order to renew those shows. Nicole Richie got boob implants. I don't know if you guys saw the photos or not.
Did not.
No.
Yeah. Gave herself a little 30th birthday gift. Brand new pair of breast implants. But here's the thing. She did it very sort of tastefully. They're reasonable. They're not ridiculous. She really looks good. She's, you know, she lost a ton of weight. Then she had a baby. And so I guess she decided to just give herself a little sprucing up. And she did a nice job. So
hear that, ladies?
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean, Bean?
I'm just saying, take a page out of her playbook. She did it well. It looks good.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Hey, those two heads give you extra time with the ladies.
I'm Bean. While we've got boobs in the news and on our minds, Jessica Simpson, we told you yesterday, is reportedly pregnant. But now friends are saying that her dream wedding that was planned for this November is a no-go. So she's got the baby, but apparently the marriage isn't going to happen, at least not in November. All preparations have been put on hold, sources close to Simpson say, because she just can't make up her mind on so many big decisions that they're running out of time to actually schedule it for November.
Which means
he won't marry her.
Correct.
That's correct.
Actually, they say it's the opposite. They say he's really gung-ho about the thing. And
is that ever true?
And she's really struggling to get the event put together.
Is that ever true?
Here's my thinking. She's pregnant. She doesn't want to walk down the aisle looking all bloated and big-bellied, so she's going to wait until after she has the baby, and then they'll schedule the wedding for sometime after that. That's my guess.
I gotcha.
Because she, she freaked out when they showed pictures of her wearing mom jeans. What's going to happen if they show her the big pregnant belly in a wedding dress? She'll lose her mind. So, looks like she wants to look as good as she can, and who can blame her? Huh, ladies, are you with me? I knew you would be. Mick Jagger is going to be in a movie. Interesting.
Only if it's about the Rolling Stones.
No, sir. Huh. It's a dramatic role. He's done some acting before, but it's been a while since he's been in a movie. And he is doing a film that is loosely based on media mogul Rupert Murdoch.
Okay.
It's called Tabloid. And Mick will play a global media giant who doesn't have much of a moral compass. The screenplay is by the guy who wrote A History of Violence, which I loved.
That was a good film.
Apparently Mick's producing the film. Maybe that's how he got the role. He's putting up the money for it. So I think he's a good actor, actually. There's a few things I've seen him in, so I'm looking forward to that. And lastly, Dane Cook. It has been announced is developing a sitcom for NBC for
next fall. So everyone mark your calendars. Next fall, we're going to see Dane Cook sharing his comedic love on the television.
Overruled!
Come on. Gotta love
it.
Dane
can't be done.
It can't be done, and it will be done. Today's celebrity birthdays, Zachary Levi. Chuck! He's 31 years old today. Singer-bassist Les Claypool of Primus, the legendary band Primus, is 48 years old. Andrew Dice Clay, comedian, actor. At one time, this guy was selling out Madison Square Garden.
It was bigger than life, yeah.
Now he was happy to get a role on Entourage. 54 years old today. E. McShane, another one of my favorite actors, is 69. And Jerry Lee Lewis, the killer, as he was known, one of the pioneers of rock and roll. I don't think he really ever killed anybody.
Well, there's a lot of suspicion about how many of his wives died under bizarre circumstances.
Oh, look. Women are delicate flowers. You know that.
Yeah, but who has, like, three wives die? That seems like, that is, you know, a little bit too much of a coincidence. That's all.
He did marry his 14-year-old cousin. I'll give him that.
He did do that. So he's got he had that going for him. Yeah, wow. Which is good.
He's 76 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. They are the delightful, young, pretty, and in-love stars of Man, Woman, Wild on the Discovery Channel Friday nights at 9. Michael Hawk and Ruth England in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Mike, you don't know this, but this is an intervention, and we have a new identity for your wife in the next room, and we're going to give her the opportunity to leave in a safe fashion right now to get away from you, so you don't keep dragging her all over the earth and torturing her. Would you like to take us up on that, Ruth?
I can't believe you're even saying this man can kill you with a shoelace.
Wow.
I know he can. That's why they asked me to break the news to you, because I'm not technically in studio. Ruth, you've got to get away from this man. Why do you allow him to treat you like this?
Well, I want to learn. Honestly, I want to learn. And it's not that bad. And he beats me if I don't do it.
The truth comes out.
All right. Michael has done everything in the military.
Yeah.
Special forces.
Special forces, yeah.
Combat, rescue, search and rescue. I mean, he's done everything. He's an extreme specialist. His wife, Ruth,
God bless her.
Not so much done all of that stuff.
Now, but it seems still has to keep up.
We were talking about this earlier. It seems to us like just regular marriages are hard enough. You have enough problems. You're going to take her out to the Amazon and make her get out of a jungle and give you an enema? What's going on here? Are you trying to jettison her, Michael?
No, man, just trying to train her up. It's proper.
Okay.
Isn't that normal? I mean, doesn't your wife give you enemas?
No.
No.
I can honestly say no.
Only on their anniversaries.
All right. Let me go back to you then, Michael. Are you preparing for some sort of impending world apocalypse and you want to make sure you're going to be one of the few people who remains alive on the earth? Is that why you continue to hone these skills? Because you're not in any danger, right? You get that.
No, man. I mean, I figure the Buddha man has a sense of humor. I'll probably be one of the first people to go, so it thanks sure ain't for nothing like that.
So you don't need survival skills, even though that's what you have.
No, man. It's just all about just pushing yourself all the time. You know, you know you're living when you're damn near close to dying.
No, wait. Let me just interrupt here. traffic being bad is what. That's my limit for drama. I don't need extra drama. I don't.
Man, here in L.A., that's serious drama.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's true. I don't plan trips to add that kind of stress to my life. But
he doesn't even when he goes to the grocery store. It's not even when he goes somewhere exotic. When he goes to the grocery store, he'll have all manner of weapons on him and several compasses, you know, just in case.
What do you think's going to happen at the grocery store?
You never know, man.
Do you always carry that stuff?
Yes, it is a way of life. That way, when I die, someone else can get all the goodies off me.
Are you, if you're sitting at home watching television together, is that something you even do, or would you be too bored to even allow yourself an hour of just relaxing and thinking about nothing else?
Of course, man. We try to get a little relaxation time when we can.
Yeah, but he's always doing something weird at the same time.
No, like what?
I mean, that first kind of sort of snuggly session when we first met, I mean, mm-hmm. afterwards, we lay there. And do you like that euphemism, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
It was good.
He lay there and told me how to break someone's neck. And this was pillow talk.
Wow. Hey, you want to know how to break someone's neck? Don't you? Isn't that a red flag? Don't you go, hey, no.
Oh, brother, that's a sign of trust. It's like, look, I now care about you so much, I would give you this secret, and I trust you not to do it to me, see?
I see. Okay. All right.
How did you two lovebirds meet?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I was hosting a show for Fox about a million years ago in Jamaica, and Mike was head of security and the medic, and he gave me a very, very thorough medical.
Nice.
I see. Okay.
I'm out the mouth.
And you've been together ever since. How long have you been married?
Oh, since about 1964.
That's a long time.
No, 6 years. Six and a half years.
Right?
Yeah.
And how did Man, Woman, Wild become a show?
Well, I've always traveled in my professional career. I've always traveled to remote places, and I've always wanted to know this kind of stuff because you're so far away from hospitals, so far away from doctors. I always wanted to know basic medical stuff and also basic survival stuff. And I was looking for somebody to teach me this stuff.
Oh, Michael, you're so lucky.
And then I met him.
How many women really want to know how to survive if they're lost out at sea in a little raft?
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
You're so lucky you found her.
Yes, and now she's paying for her sins.
Ruth, what is the worst thing your husband has ever made you eat? And no, I'm not trying to speak euphemistically here. Out in the wild, you've had to do some pretty crazy stuff. What's the worst thing you ever had to put in your mouth?
How long have you got?
There are a lot of them, I'm sure.
I think one of my least... Oh, yes, yeah. Most recently, in the Colombian Amazon, there was this huge beetle larvae. And you had to pull its head off so its pincers wouldn't bite your tongue. And then there were spiky hairs on its tail. And then you put that in your mouth, and it continued to pulsate and wriggle in your mouth even though it was dead. And it'd be excreting this oily fluid as it was doing that.
Oh, no. What? And what was the purpose of eating that?
Staying alive.
No, see, okay. Here's where you and I differ. I die. I just go, I've had a good run. I'm good.
Or you know you're going to the jungle and you put Pop-Tarts in your backpack. No, I mean, that's not
sloppy.
That hard
they
to do.
Get sloppy in the jungle.
Wow. This is so out of our realm, isn't it?
I don't understand these people at all. We have an awesome clip from the show that I think everyone will remember for the rest of their lives. I know I'll never forget it. The program is called Man, Woman, Wild. It airs Friday nights at 9 on Discovery. And I think this is your set this up for us. You guys are out in a boat somewhere, and you're out of fresh water. You're in a salt sea. You're out of fresh water. Where was this?
Yes, I believe somewhere in the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm. Bermuda Triangle. All right. Now, all I know is you can't drink the ocean because it'll hurt you.
Right. Yeah, the salt basically dehydrates you from inside out. You're dead.
But that's all I know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the limit of my knowledge. I didn't know that this was an option.
What's all the fresh water we got?
Please drink a sip of the water.
Listen to me, okay? You're going to give me an enema.
Up your backside?
Yes. We can put that dirty water. My bowel can absorb like 15% or something of that water, and I won't get sick.
I've never given an enema before. You're going to need some kind of lubrication.
Yeah.
Suntan lotion. It's just the height of irony. I'm just about to stick suntan lotion where the sun don't shine. Okay, now this might sound like a stupid thing to say, baby. You got to relax.
Oh.
How far do I push it?
Okay, wow. Wow.
Man.
Wow.
The two places I'll never forget where I was when I heard 9/11 and then you getting an enema out in that boat. The show is called Man, Woman, Wild. We'll take a break, return with our guests, Mike Hawk and Ruth England, here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Our guests here on The Kevin and Bean Show right now are Michael Hawk and Ruth England. They are husband and wife and stars of Man, Woman, Wild on the Discovery Channel, Friday nights at 9. This is season 2 we're in now, right? Right, guys?
Rajo.
Give me some, you've encountered so many things throughout the course of the first season and into the second season now. Give me some animal stories. What kind of dangerous animals have you had to deal with through the course of making the program?
Oh, he just almost killed me with a shark.
A shark?
Yeah, it was horrendous. We're in this tiny little Boston whaler, and we'd put a fish on the end of a piece of rope to keep it fresh in the water. And sharks started circling, and one of them latched onto the rope. Mm-hmm. And it was pulling the boat over on its side, tipping the boat, and you could see sharks circling underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter that we had, a cameraman in another boat. That's not going to prevent us from getting eaten by sharks.
Sharks are a little quicker than that. Yeah.
They are. We can get some nice shots of it, but we'd be dead. And Mike was fighting with a shark.
Well, I wanted my rope, and I wanted my fish,
yeah.
And if I got lucky, I was going to eat that shark.
But see, but that's where your desire is so different, because I'm just cutting the line. I'm letting the shark go and have it. He wins, but you're going to fight it.
If I can, you bet.
Did you win?
He got the fish.
Did you get any of the rope?
Yes, I did.
Well, there you go. There you go.
How about bears or lions or any of those sorts of things that can eat you?
Whoa, let's get back to bears.
Yeah. Basically, we ran into them in Montana, And we ran into them in Alaska in a big way.
In Alaska, it was awful. I mean, the salmon was spawning. The rivers were like a carpet of salmon. And on the edge of the rivers, it was like a killing field. Everything stank of death. And bears had just been pulling the salmon out. They were everywhere the bears were. And then it's tall grass, and you couldn't see where they were. And we were walking up this river at one point, and there was a grizzly bear just in the river with us. And it turned and walked across the river, and we thought, thank God it's gone away. And then it turned around and it stared at me and then walked back across to our side.
Oh, my God.
Basically, the only place we could find a shelter where we had a chance of rescue was on a shoreline, and it just happened to be right in the middle of the killing fields for the bears. And when we were trying to find our way through the place, we walked through its den.
Wow.
Oh, dude.
All right, so it's staring you down, and you're thinking, okay, I didn't want to go this way, but...
You got to watch the show to see the rest, but we survived.
Did you have bear to eat for the rest of the trip?
No, brother, bear jerky was not on the menu.
All right, just check. I didn't know if you knew how to break a bear's neck as well. Who knows?
He'd try. I tell you, he'd try.
I would imagine it's easier to beat the elements than it is to beat a bear. I mean, there's not much a human can do against a bear beyond play dead, right? I mean, isn't that your only option?
Well, it depends. You know, there are two techniques for the bears, and one's to play dead and one's the fight back. It depends on the type of bear, and that's a long class. But bottom line is, I don't care how big it is, it ain't got muscles in them eyeballs, and that's straight where I'm going.
Oh, I see. How about the clips that I've seen from the show usually involve you in some sort of a warm weather climate. Have you ever done anything in either the Arctic or Antarctic that has been a challenge?
Well, we've done cold weather stuff. Last season, we actually did Alaska, and we hit a really strange time during a thaw when no critters, nothing was moving, and it did us in. And it's one of the things we pride ourselves on about the show is teaching solid principles and keeping it real.
It did you in, meaning you couldn't find food?
Oh, no food, none whatsoever. Nothing. And we finally, after days of walking, we had to tap out, plus a bad storm was coming in.
Wow.
And this season, we go back to Alaska and tackle it again.
That's got to go against everything in your body.
To what?
To tap out, to say, I can't.
Oh, well, man, there's the thing about common sense, you know, living to fight another day, not being
You don't
stupid.
Have common sense. You fought a shark. You were fighting a shark.
What can I say, man? Maybe some of that's lacking.
It's moments of lucidity, occasionally.
Now, Ruth, I don't want to be grim here or anything, but when it comes down to it, you know your husband kills and eats you, right? You understand that that's always in the back of his mind, is that you're a ready food source, right?
We've discussed it, and it really offended me because he said my bottom was too fat and it'd go for my thigh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You discussed it in that length?
Yeah.
Hey, man, true love is letting someone eat you if you die first.
But what if
what
you
a
kill
beautiful
her,
sentiment. Where's Hallmark?
If you kill her, that's not true love.
Well, no, I ain't got no reason to do that, man. I'm losing some labor support if I do that.
Yeah, you don't want to kill her. You just want to start picking pieces off of her body, like her thighs. She can still survive, but you get something to eat, right?
All right, tell us some of the places that you go in this coming season.
Well, I've actually had to write a list because I'm so jet-lagged from filming the damn thing. I couldn't remember where. It's all merged into one sort of insect-bitten hell. we've been to the Colombian Amazon, and that was quite an amazing one because the river was flooded into the jungle, and you couldn't see where the river ended and the jungle began.
Oh,
very
man.
Scary.
All right.
The Panamanian Pearl Islands. We've been to Alaska, the Juneau ice fields. We've been to the backwoods of Kentucky. We've been to Croatia, the caves, the highlands of Scotland. We've been to Andros. Montserrat was one of my favorites.
Yeah, by a long shot. That was volcano. Why? Well, it was a volcano area. It was really, no kidding, threat zone.
Sorry not to know. Where is that?
Caribbean.
Yeah, Caribbean, okay. Yeah.
And plus, we had an entire city, so it was an urban survival scenario as well. So it was very
Wait,
different.
There was no one in the city?
No.
The lower third of Montserrat is in an exclusion zone because a volcano went off about 15 years ago, and it's itching to go off. I mean, it goes off about every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's very, very dangerous, so people aren't allowed back in. So it's kind of frozen in time. Mm-hmm. And so we were demonstrating how you would survive in sort of a post-apocalyptic kind of scenario.
Hmm.
Oh, awesome. That sounds like fun. Man, woman, wild is
fun to watch.
To watch, that to do. Certainly not to do, right. Man, woman, wild is the name of the amazing show, Friday nights at 9 on the Discovery Channel. So this episode tomorrow night is the kickoff to season 2. So we have all these great shows to look forward to, right?
Brother, I think it's been going on for a while, but we've been traveling, so we haven't seen it either.
But you've got quite a few to go.
Beautiful. So glad we got a chance to meet you guys. Please don't turn and kill and eat each other. Try not to do that before the next time we catch up with you, all right?
Right on.
We know where you are.
Yeah, get Bean. Kill him.
Our friend Rich Eisen from the NFL Network is going to be joining us in about, 25 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about an awesome new series of documentary shows that they have on the NFL Network. I think there are people who probably doubted the NFL Network would have enough programming to sustain itself year-round. They do a really, really good job.
Yes, they do.
Don't they? First, though, we're going to go to the email bag. We get lots of it's not technically a bag. It's really more just an expression.
I don't have a bag. I looked all over for a bag. You keep
There's no physical bag.
Okay, all right.
But we do get a lot of email on a lot of topics, including, I guess, one, Kevin, you just got about our most recent guest.
Well, yeah, we just had Michael Hawk and Ruth England in promoting Man, Woman, Wild, which is it looks like a great series.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this one. Ha, 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 ha. His name is Mike Hawk.
Oh, son of a gun.
And I wrote back, I'm so disappointed I didn't notice that.
How did we miss that?
Because he went by Mike.
And right. Now
and
we know
his
why.
Last name is Hawk.
Now we know why. Yeah. That's interesting. And didn't he serve with Mike Hunt? He also served with him, too, right?
I didn't get the answer to that one.
Got a lot of complaints about a story Ralph did earlier today on the Showbiz Beat. I guess GLAAD every year puts together a list of the television networks that have the fewest gay, lesbian, and transgendered characters. And we got a couple of emails on that, for instance, from Mark, who writes in, does GLAAD have gaydar? How do they know which characters are gay on TV? How presumptuous of them to assume they can pick out a gay character? I'm sure there are lots of characters on TV who are gay, and they can't tell because they're not out. Now, that's an interesting question, but I think GLAAD's biggest point is they want them to be out. They don't count them unless they are out because they want to see the representation of gays on TV, right?
What about people who we know are gay but haven't come out?
What I think that's your count.
Oh, that's interesting too, huh? And then Sarah adds, I think GLAAD needs to focus on more important issues than how many gays are on television shows. I'm for equal rights, but when are we going to realize that being a good actor is what they should use to hire people on TV, not the color of their skin or sexual preferences? I think she's confused because GLAAD is talking about the characters on the show, not whether the actors themselves are gay, as I understand it.
Yes.
It's very, very complicated.
This one came from David about Fox. He says, what about Simon Cowell and Stewie Griffin?
They weren't counted.
In the closet.
Nope, not Stewie. Remember that episode where Brian goes, are you gay? And he goes, probably.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Sherry. I heard one of you say this morning that you are related to former NFL quarterback Jeff Hostetler. Well, this is Kevin's, was he your first cousin? Second cousin? What was it? What was Jeff?
He was my, I don't know, I was stretching the truth a little. I think he was my uncle's nephew. So you
well,
tell
makes,
me.
That makes him a cousin, though.
Yeah.
All right.
He, of course, was played in the late 80s, early 90s, took the Giants to the Super Bowl one year. Well, Sherry writes in, my maternal grandmother's maiden name is Hostetler. Jeff is a cousin of mine, but I had never met him either. Funny story is, though, I went to a game when he was the quarterback in Oakland, and I waited outside the Coliseum for him after the game. I asked him to sign a hat, which he did, and it was a very awkward moment when I blurted out, we're cousins!
Oh, wow.
Which, by the way, he probably would have been fine with if he hadn't already lived through that with you when you talked to him and said, we're cousins!
I did do that.
Anyway, he shook his head and walked away. So embarrassing. Anyway, I guess this means I am somehow related to you, Kevin. How about that? So you got a new relative. Sherry, apparently, listening to the show, is also related to you.
We can't date unless we're at least second cousins. Then I'm in. Lisa and Kevin, you guys work with some cards. My brother-in-law, who is unemployed, got a job through a movie extra casting agent and is standing down at the trial holding a sign supporting Dr. Murray.
Son of a gun!
He's been there since it started, Dave.
Wait, he's being paid to be down there and hold up a sign?
Yep.
Yes.
How about that?
That was my theory. I don't even think, like, this sounds too good to be true, even for me who believes that.
Yeah.
But
interesting.
Fascinating.
Lisa, you have an email from a listener who's somewhat enamored of you.
This listener has been a listener for like 10 years. He says, dearest Lisa, I've been in the Marine Corps for 2.5 years. And all my buddies have dates for the Marine Corps ball this November in San Diego, but I don't. I would be honored if you would go with me. You have to wear a dress and look beautiful, but that wouldn't be a problem for you.
Wow, that's
what
cool.
A gentleman.
How this sweet.
I know. Lieutenant Corporal Greg Mahas. So, but the thing
you're
going
to have a great time.
The ball is in the middle of the week in San Diego. So
right.
That's kind of tricky given like
like I have a job and all that kind of stuff.
You
so
you could go to the Marine Corps ball.
And there's like a boyfriend too.
Oh.
So I wrote him back and told him how honored I was, but I said, I will help you get a date.
Wait,
and
hold on a second. Before we settle for seconds here, he didn't say he had to bang you.
No,
he just
I
said
know.
He wanted you to be at the dinner, there's which you just, can do with a boyfriend.
There's just a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of nuts and bolts to this, if you'll pardon the expression.
And number one is that you are Al-Qaeda, right?
Well, how come you don't support the troops?
I do support the troops. I'm going to give him a great date.
We'll give you the time off. Go down there.
I will get him a really good date.
This Marine is out there fighting Charlie day and night so that you can sit on your fat ass and tell him no? Is that what's happening here?
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Look, wow. If I get him a good date, maybe he will get a little something.
That
something.
Guy, by the way.
Which he deserves.
I'm guessing.
Right?
Yeah, sure. You say that with your mouth, not with your actions.
And she's not saying it with her mouth either, by the way, which is what she should be doing for our fine fighting men and women around this country.
My mouth is off the table. This is what I'm saying.
You are There's dead to me, options. Lisa Bay. You are dead to me. All right, and finally, I don't have anyone to attribute this to, but it's been a long time since we've been doing this show that we had received such an outpouring of distrust and disgust from Kevin and Bean listeners.
What?
Apparently, we've started airing a commercial that Kevin does for one of his very favorite restaurants, the Wendy's chain. I'm just saying people refuse to accept this. They've heard the tape of Kevin who comes on and he sounds like he is in control of the material. He sounds like he understands the words that he is reading. It sounds fluid. It sounds like he is a professional broadcaster. And the listeners just cannot wrap their heads around the fact that you walked into a studio, had Omar turn on a microphone, and laid that thing down. So they are demanding, not just insisting, demanding, ready to come down with torches unless we give them some of the outtakes from your Wendy's commercial.
Here's what happened. This is the honest truth. I went in there. I knew that Omar was thinking, I need to record all of this because of all the outtakes. So I said, Omar, just so you know, I know you're recording for the outtakes. Feel free. And then you know what happened? Nailed it.
Okay, I know that's what you say. I know that's your story. I've heard your story. But Omar begs to differ because
he said he didn't have enough to do this.
That's what he told you to get you out of the room so that he could start cutting up this tape and sending it in to us, the actual audio of Kevin trying to put together his Wendy's commercial, the stuff you didn't hear in the finished ad.
Wendy's is proud to introduce Dave's Hot and Goosey Juice Burgers. Hot and Goosey Juice Burgers. Hot and Juicy Juice Burgers. They're on the grill to take about classic chicken cheeseburger. They made it thicker, and they made it hotter, and they made it thicker. They made it thickier and juicier. They made it hotter and thickier. Made it 100% North beef. 100% American North. 100% American beef. You want to get fancy? You can put crinkle cut pickles on it. Crinkle pick kickles. Crinkle putt kickles. Go to yourself, Facebook. /Wendy. /Wendy. Get my Navy Saving Cookman. Get a money-saving coupon. Try Davis Juicy's Burgers today. Try Davis Hot Juice. Try Davis Hot Juice Juices. Hot and Juicy Burgers of Dave. Wendy's. You really want it to know.
There it is.
I don't remember that day. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:54.
Ow.
It was Lisa moving her mic.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, you mean the dead
Lisa
one?
The
one who hates America?
The dead one?
I don't hate America.
Let me tell you something. Mila Kunis can find a time to carve out of her schedule and relationships, whatever, to take a Marine to the ball.
You know why? Because she's not Taliban.
That's right.
And Lisa May can't take a Marine to the ball after all they've done for us? He doesn't want someone else.
Great.
He asked you to be his escort to the Marine Corps ball.
He's what an
Marine.
Honor, by the way.
He's
what
an
honor.
He could find someone.
Of course he could.
Actually, he's having a little trouble.
Oh.
Well, regardless, he asked you.
Wow.
As an American, it's practically your duty to go with this guy.
That's what I said.
I'm going to do him one better. You guys don't
no,
even
you're
understand.
Not. He wants to go with you. It would be so cool if he could say to his friends, I got this radio personality coming with me, and she's my date to Marine Corps ball. Anyway, that's what he would like to have for that
America.
Special night. But right. Lisa May can't find it in her heart to take
Look,
a Marine
it's a
to the
cold,
ball.
Cold heart.
What
I
the
thought,
hell?
I thought the date was a given. I thought the only controversy, the only question in Lisa's mind would whether to be backdoor or not. I mean, did you honestly think that was the only thing that she would be thinking?
You're belittling it, but I'm saying she doesn't have to give up sex. She doesn't do anything other than look beautiful and be an escort. That's all she has to do.
And just be a good person
That's
for once.
Right.
That's all
it was.
No,
for once.
That is just too much of a stretch for Lisa May.
I'm pretty good with the penises.
We know that. So prove your worth and take the Marine to the ball. Oh,
all right.
Brutal.
Lisa's going to spend the rest of her day watching old people fall down in crosswalks and laughing.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Watching puppies get thrown over a fence. I mean, whatever it is, she's just going to just point and laugh and go, baby seals. Not my problem.
That is my favorite.
Man.
Like she does. Like she does.
And don't use the boyfriend excuse, because I'm sure he would have no problem with it. If you said, I'm going to take a Marine to the Marine Corps ball as a special occasion, I'd say, wow, that's a really nice thing to do. Please go enjoy.
I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that it's in San Diego. It's in the middle of the week.
We'll give you the day off. We'll give you the day off.
2 days off.
We'll give you
We'll pay you for both days.
Take the week.
We'll pay you for both days.
Take the week.
I'm getting a week. Wait,
Ralph, you're not a good negotiator. We're not up to a week yet.
No, we are
now. Take a bus.
Hi, it's the poop eater.
Yeah, that's right.
Or don't go and then just don't come back to this show. How about that?
Oh,
your choice. Let's give her those 2 days off with an ultimatum.
You can't go from there to there.
Yeah, take the day off and take the day after off.
Right.
We'll fill in for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Oh, there's a crash on the freeway. I can do that. No worries. Oh, look out for your citrus trees. Bugs are eating them. Ah, I like AT&T. Ah, I can do that. Come on.
Yes, the terrorists have already won. That's what I've learned here today.
This is a sad moment.
Aches. I don't even want to do this show business.
I don't either.
We talked about the gay and lesbian characters on TV.
Yes.
And the source that I got the story from, it didn't ring true to me that Fox would be the least of the networks to represent gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered characters on television.
It seems like
because Glee has like 30 of them just on that show.
Right, so I did a little research, and for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, every year they do an annual Where Are We on TV report where they take a look at all the cable channels and all the broadcast channels, and they say, how represented are we in the regular characters on their TV series? And so the report came out again yesterday. Initially, I'd reported that Fox was the least of all the broadcast channels. Turns out it's the exact opposite.
What?
Yes, the source that I got the story from was wrong. So I got the actual report, and turns out Fox has the most of all the broadcast networks.
All right.
So I just wanted to make that correction because it didn't ring true to me, and it turns out I was wrong. So I apologize. They lead all networks, broadcast networks, in gay representation with 8 regular characters out of a total of 117 regular characters. Which still isn't a lot, but they're the best. HBO, in case you were curious, has the lead in non-broadcast cable channels.
GLAAD is poorly named. They don't ever seem like they're very glad.
They're glad. We're glad.
They're not happy people.
We're super glad.
And yet they're named GLAAD.
Lisa, nope. Jessica Simpson. Lisa Simpson's a whole different character.
Yes.
I mentioned to you that she is reportedly pregnant. And now, today, we have announced that reportedly she is canceling her November wedding to her fiancé.
Mm-hmm.
Because she, according to sources, is having a difficult time making significant decisions in time to pull the wedding off in November. My counter theory was she doesn't want to be pregnant walking down the aisle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So she's going to wait till after the baby's born, lose a ton of weight, and then put on the dress and get the photos taken.
That makes sense. Else.
But the great news story I just got moments ago was that when Jessica Simpson found out she was pregnant, she took 10 pregnancy tests to confirm that she was pregnant.
Did she go to a doctor? Just 10?
Home tests. Took 10 of them.
Okay.
After the third one, don't you have to say, well, it must be the case.
And then sixth, seventh
one maybe? All right. 10 tests. My theory is that she kept forgetting what the plus and minus meant.
Wait a minute, y'all. Is the plus?
Is that good because I'm not pregnant?
Give me another one.
Yeah, she's a dope.
It's really hard for me to gain weight.
Not really. We've seen the difference. Taylor Lautner, after his smash hit action film Abduction.
I'm going to find you first. Oh, I'm so angry.
Has announced he's looking forward to another movie role. In Touch magazine reports he wants to be the lead in the remake of Dirty Dancing. He's undergoing dance lessons as we speak, trying to prepare for the audition, but he is determined to snag the role that Patrick Swayze made famous in Dirty Dancing, the reboot.
Hmm.
Well, he can lift a girl, we know that. He can do that much.
I've had the time of my life. Not if I find you first.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Jerry Lee Lewis, the Killer, as he's known in rock and roll circles.
Not in a good way, by the way. I don't think
76 years. It became good. No, like he killed him, man. He was an amazing performer live on stage. He would kill an audience. And his wife, 76 years old today. I can't believe he's still alive. By the way,
I can't either.
He's got like no stomach and half a lung, and I don't believe he has a head anymore. I think that's gone.
He seemed like he was 76 when I was born.
I know.
This is like
Ian McShane is 69 years old. Andrew Dice Clay celebrates his 54th birthday. Zachary Levi of Chuck fame is 31. And guitarist Josh Farrow, formerly of Paramore, now in Novel American. He is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I think you're going to go through the phone here in a second, Ralph. We don't connect Rich Eisen right now. Looks like you're chopping at the bit to get to this.
My favorite network, my favorite guy on my favorite network, and my favorite team on my favorite network.
Ralph, we got this handled. We got this interview handled.
We don't need your help. As an Eagles fan, true and tried, I must represent.
Rich Eisen joins us, lead anchor, of course, for the NFL Network. Rich, before we get started about the awesome Football Life series, we just want to tell you, good call on our friend Andrew Siciliano taking over your spot on The Daily Show, man. We're very, very happy for him and for the network.
Well, I appreciate you being happy for the network and him. He's a good man. And
no, he's a great guy. He's really, really good and really knows and is such a fan of football, and that comes across so knowledgeable, very enjoyable to watch. Yeah, so good. I mean, if we can't have you, that's a good choice.
Well, you know, I'm still on the network. You know, I still have lots going on there, but just the Daily Show that I've NFL Total Access that I've been doing for the last 8 years, it's moving on and up, and I've got other assignments for the network, and
plus now we get your podcast, which I like even more,
which is basically what I'm generally focused on. I got Tim McGraw on this week with Adrian Peterson, Gabrielle Reese, Mike Mayock for a little hardcore football, and first time ever, we've never had a wife of an owner on, and Suzanne Johnson of the New York Jets came on to talk about the new line of women's apparel that the NFL has gotten out there. And whenever a wife of an owner is on, you know, we need to make sure all of our desks are neatly arranged and sure, sitting up straight, you know.
She could have you fired?
Well, wife of upper management is definitely an interesting guest to have on the show, and she's a really cool lady,
and a good looking lady too.
Let me tell you, they chose her as the spokesperson for the new line of apparel.
Yeah,
wisely.
And she's got all. It was funny. It was a funny conversation because there's new a jewelry line as well. And she showed up the stackable rings on her finger.
Yeah.
And the stackable rings were around her wedding band. And I said, the one in the middle you definitely can't get on NFLShop.com.
A lot of people were trying to order that. Speaking of beautiful women, I caught your podcast last week or the week before with Tom Brady. She is a gorgeous lady, isn't she?
It.
Really a good-looking woman. I got to be honest.
He is. Let me tell you something. And I'm firmly rooted in my sexuality.
You know what you're going to say. He's hot.
He, in the middle of a conversation with him, it's jarring. I got to be honest. Yeah.
You get lost in his beautiful eyes. I understand.
Well,
I get you. Sure.
I was sitting there fully aware of what I'd be getting into. That's a rough two shot for somebody like me. You know? And you know, I had the Prada sweater and the Prada suit, and
sure.
And I looked completely rumpled, like I had just come out of the dryer.
Did you tell your guys? Did you tell your cameraman? Look, let's not do any two shots. Let's do
singles,
me or him.
Tight singles. Right. But you know, there has to be what we in the business call an establishing shot.
Sure, of course. And, yeah. Well, you did yourself no favors, my friend.
But
I must be honest.
Bruce Jenner has now said he's starting to look a little feminine. That Tom Brady. That's all I know.
Well, I took one for the team interviewing Tom Brady.
Yeah.
We had to have two shots. And
God bless.
Hey, Tom came on last year for the podcast. And then the subsequent week beat the Jets by 42. And this year he came on the podcast and then set a Patriot personal and Monday Night Football record, 517 passing yards.
Yes.
So it's not him. It's really me and my podcast.
Congratulations.
There you go.
Congratulations.
That's great.
Hey, this is the voice of our friend. Go ahead, Ralph. I'm sorry.
Could you spend some time with Michael Vick for me, Rich?
Yeah,
I'd
there you go.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I did, after I mentioned that, that Brady got the podcast bump, people were saying, can I come on your show before my job interview? Can Eli come on before he takes on the Eagles?
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
speaking of the Eagles, let's turn our attention to a new show, relatively new on the NFL Network, called A Football Life. This is a series. I guess Ralph came in raving about the Belichick episodes, and now you've got a new one on Reggie White and Jerome Brown, two names that all football fans know, but it sounds to me, Rich, like there's a great deal going on behind the scenes between these two best friends that the most of us don't even know about.
It's an incredible story, and as you mentioned, A Football Life is a new series on NFL Network where it's a one-hour documentary each week, taking a look at somebody who's you know, had quite the football life. And the first 2 weeks of it were a two-part documentary on Bill Belichick, who was the first coach to ever wear a wire during an entire season. And, you know, he's the guy who puts, you know, the monotone in monotony.
Yes,
and
he does.
And throws around axes like manhole covers. And for him to do that, it was eye-opening, and it was mind-blowing, and it was superb television that NFL Films and the NFL Network Media Group put together.
But Rich, let me ask you.
So for this week, the one to follow up that, which was, by the way, the largest viewed documentary in the history of NFL Network. It was the number two program in Boston when it aired. So for the one to come after that, it's got, you know, it was, I was sort of holding my breath watching it because I wanted it to be as special as that one. And the Jerome Brown, Reggie White documentary, it's really superb and special, and it just put a stamp for me on this series that it's the real deal.
For those of us that have heard the names but don't know the story behind the names,
well, Reggie White is an all-time pass rusher who, you know, went to Tennessee and out of Tennessee went to the USFL. And the Philadelphia Eagles at that time in the mid-'80s paid $1 million to get him out of his USFL contract and come to Philadelphia. And when he first arrived on the scene, everyone's like, well, you know, who's this guy who passed up the NFL to go to this new league and now is getting all this money to come from the new league to come into our league? And he had some proving to do in Philadelphia, and then one game in, proved it.
Yeah.
And that's covered in this documentary. And then Jerome Brown, a couple years later, came off the campus of the Miami Hurricanes and now, you know, was playing on the same line as somebody who is clearly a special player in Reggie White. And by all accounts, just as good. I mean, as good, and had a similar personality, but they were a yin and yang in many ways as well. And the story between the two of them about how they came to Philadelphia and what they meant to the city and how they both sadly eventually died young, it really is a superb story and how they're intertwined together. And the people that got sat down to tell the story, Brett Favre, who knew obviously Reggie White from his time in Green Bay, Troy Aikman, Phil Sims, who felt the wrath of both of these guys twice a year, Michael Irvin telling his part of the story, the former
Fisher there too,
of the Eagles, and it just goes on and on and on, and it and some of the game footage with the call by Pat Summerall and John Madden, you hear that, and it's an awesome blast from the past, and it all in one-hour documentary that will maybe make you tear up. It really is that good.
You know, Rich, the relationship between these two guys, being a Philadelphia native, they were known as, Reggie was the preacher, he was the clean living guy, and Jerome was kind of the wild child. And their friendship was always sort of from the distance, seemed like a real odd couple, you know?
Yeah, but
they were
really tied at the hip.
Yeah.
And Reggie was I know he's known as the Minister of Defense, and he's a religious man, and he was known for that, obviously, after his playing career, just as much as during his playing career. But he had a very fun-loving, childlike side to him that Jerome Brown, endeared himself to Reggie White through that. And Reggie also threw his arm around Jerome, knowing how special a player he really was, to try and keep him as straight and narrow as possible. And the two of them, it's just remarkable how together, and they never won a playoff football game together.
Yeah,
never. They were 3-and-out in their 3 attempts at the playoffs, and in the 1 year that they were going to expect to win, you know, that they were going to go, and this was going to be finally their year in 1992, Jerome Brown died in a car accident in the offseason. And the neat thing is, as they say in the documentary, you know, this is the time before cell phones and the internet were prevalent, so word, you know, it was slow to get out, and you see the footage of Reggie White, who was at a a prayer testimonial, Billy Graham prayer testimonial at the vet in Veterans Stadium. Moments after he learned that Jerome Brown had passed, and he broke the news to the fans of Philadelphia. It is just a jarring piece of video. And like I said, the NFL Films people, they're just...
I can't even put
it into words because of how good they are and what they mean to our network and how special a program they continue to put together. Josh Charles, the actor Josh Charles,
love him
from A Good Life. He provides the narration and adds a really extra touch of class to the whole documentary, and he's the voice of a football life, and he was on my podcast last week. He's a hardcore Baltimore sports fan, so they couldn't have chosen a more passionate football fan to provide the voice to this. And
so
it really is good stuff, and coming up soon is a football life on Walter Payton's life, Kurt Warner's life, and it's just a great idea, and it's 10 o'clock every Thursday night. It'll be 7 o'clock out here, but it re-airs quite a bit. And it's just one of those things that when you see it and you work for the organization or work with NFL Films, it really makes you puff your chest out a little bit.
Bean and I are going to be shedding a tear. Ralph, do you have someone to watch it with? Because I picture you on the ground, kicking and screaming.
You may need tomorrow off, Ralph.
Curling up in a ball.
They're removing all the sharp implements from my house, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a beautiful story. And as always, as you mentioned, Rich, beautifully done. Thanks to NFL Films. A Football Life, the latest episode, is going to air tonight at 7 West Coast, 10 o'clock elsewhere. On the NFL Network, and you can look for Rich every night on the podcast show, and then of course virtually all day on Sunday as well. Rich, you are the very best, man. We always love having you on the show. Thanks a lot for jumping
on. Look forward to coming back. Take care, everybody.
Ralph Garman time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I like that better than the Showbiz Beat. Let's change the
name. Ralph Garman time.
Ralph Garman time. Before I get to Showbiz news, I have more passes to give away to our very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of 50-50 tonight.
Yay!
It's happening tonight.
We're cutting a little close.
Yay!
Don't call if you can't go tonight.
Yay!
Story, of course, of a young man diagnosed with a rare form of spinal cancer who, with the help of his best friend and his mom and a young therapist at a cancer center, learns how to cope and does so with a lot of laughter. Doesn't sound like an ideal subject matter for a comedy, but in reality, it's very funny and also very touching.
If it's done well, it can be great.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt stars in the film. Can't ask for better
than that. Oh, he's so good.
Seth Rogen is his best friend, and this is based on a true story that really happened to Seth's best friend. And so he encouraged his friend to write a screenplay about it, and Seth got it made.
And then replaced him
and had someone else play it. No, it wasn't an actor. He was a writer, so it all worked out. But
I hate to ask, but how's his friend doing, if his friend is still doing?
Friend is alive and well.
Good. Oh, good. Yeah, oh, happy ending.
There's a happy ending. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. And we have two pairs of passes remaining, so...
I think Chip should flip a coin. 50-50, they call.
Oh, see what you did?
Heads, they get the tickets. Tails, sorry. Bye.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't think we can do it.
I don't think we can either.
Back to you.
All right. Thanks for screwing with the everything.
I'm not a fan of momentum.
Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore, are they splitting up? Rumor has it their 6-year marriage is on the rocks due to the fact that Ashton occasionally likes to keep company with other women.
What? And that's a problem?
I know.
What, is she uptight? What's going on?
Apparently. Hey, you know what? Why don't you cut a few of those stitches of your most recent facelift and just relax a little bit?
She can't relax without cutting the stitches?
No, because she's so tight. She's so tightly, it's like a snare drum, that skin. She needs to just relax, put on a few pounds, and have a seat.
I hear you.
Word has it that he was seen at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego with another woman for a night of sweet, hot love, as they say, in San Diego.
Is that what they say?
That's where happiness happens. And now they are separated. That's what Ashton told a young lady. So it remains to be seen, but...
They were separated at that moment.
Sure, they were.
Technically,
yeah.
Physically.
Well, Demi Moore is shooting a film on the other coast, and Ashton Kutcher's here in Los Angeles filming his sitcom, so they are physically separated as well, but things aren't going well for the couple, so we'll have to wait and see. How they fare.
Aren't you glad that our marriages don't have cameras and people guessing every single move you make.
I am thankful that all my entire life is not under that kind of scrutiny. Because we've all done things where if you took those things out of context and just held them up to the public to look at, people would say, you're a horrible human being.
They think that anyway, but...
Well, yes, but worse than they even think now if they knew some of the things that we all did in our lives, right?
Especially you.
Hey, what the... Forbes magazine just released their list of TV's highest paid actresses. Interesting list. This is how much money they made over the past year. Now, obviously, TV actresses don't make as much money as movie actresses. And although it includes their TV salaries, it doesn't exclude other monies that they make via endorsements and things like that. So, just to give you some perspective, Juliana Margulies, who plays The Good Wife on CBS, she's 10th on the list, making $6 million over the past year. Then Courtney Cox and Ellen Pompeo are tied at $7 million. I'm surprised Courtney Cox is making that kind of coin on a series that's only a couple seasons old. But apparently she's doing very well for herself.
I think she's a producer, too, like you say.
I was going to say she may be a producer on that show. Terry Hatcher and Felicity Huffman, then, tied at 6th and 7th. They make $9 million apiece over the past year. Another Desperate Housewives cast members, Marcia Cross and Mariska Hargitay. Oh, and Mark Helgenberger. They've tied for 3rd, 4th, and 5th. At $10 million each. And the top two moneymakers are tied at 1 and 2 on this list. Highest paid TV actresses. Tina Fey making $13 million over the past year.
Okay.
And then Eva Longoria.
Ooh.
Now, she is not making as much as... she is making more, obviously, than her other co-stars from that TV show. Terry Hatcher, Felicity Huffman, and Marcia Cross. But this factors in also her... perfume company deal or makeup deal and all the hair color and all those other commercials and stuff that she does. So $13 million. You know, it's so funny when we do this list and we look at just the highest paid entertainers.
Yeah.
I know it's ridiculous, but these numbers look sort of paltry now in comparison.
Well, compared to movie stars who
when
make
we do the Forbes
million.
Number for like biggest entertainers, like $113 million, those numbers get thrown around. You see $13 million, like, really? Is that all? Just $13 million? Is that all you made?
I'm surprised you can get by on that.
I feel kind of bad for you now. And I feel bad for all of us next week.
Why?
The Today Show. You know, they have a fourth hour of the Today Show where Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda Do, they sit around and they chat and they have cocktails and they giggle.
I've only seen that on with the sound off, and it just looks horrible.
Yeah, it's the two of them at a podium with people behind them in a picture window, and they seem to be having a hell of a good time there.
Oh, they're drunk by 10:15 a.m., that's for sure.
And they do your cooking segments, you know, and your fashion segments, as well as some news stories. But Kathy Lee's taking the week off next week. So Today said, who do we replace the inimitable Kathy Lee Gifford with? And so they had to find TV talent of the highest echelon. They had to really pull in some big talent to replace her next week.
So Oprah's coming back, or they're going to get Anderson Cooper to do another show, or what's going on?
Almost as good as that. The Kardashian family will be stopping by.
No!
Kim, Courtney, Chloe, Chris, and Bruce will taking turns filling in for Kathy Lee next week on the Today Show. So,
wow, that is a lot of Chick-fil-A.
You're not going to want to miss the Kardashians.
Yeah, I'm going to be all right missing.
They're saving Kim for Friday. They're very wise. They're going to build up.
Sure.
They're going to build up to Kim.
Who do you start
now,
with?
Not Chloe, because she will eat you.
You have to bury her in the middle of the week, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
well, that day is going to be all cooking segments,
that's right?
Right,
yes. Chloe's going to cook Hoda on a spit over an open fire and just eat her whole. So, eat her in totality, I mean. Eat her completely.
And show that in daytime?
Man, what's happening? All of a sudden, I'm interested.
Eat her.
Oh, my.
Eat her complete body. Eat her in one gulp, I'm saying.
That girl's fat.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jerry.
Wow.
Jerry Lewis.
Much further south than I could have thought.
Rock and roll legend Jerry Lee Lewis is 76 years old today. Actor Ian McShane from Deadwood. How good was he on Deadwood, by the way? Boy, was he good on that show.
I didn't watch that show.
He was in the most recent Pirates of the Caribbean movie, playing Blackbeard the Pirate. Great in that. He's a very talented guy. 69 years old. Andrew Dice Clay is 54. Les Claypool of Primus turns 48.
Primus X.
What?
48 years old today. Zachary Levi. He is your Chuck.
He is your Chuck.
He is your Chuck. He is 31 years old. And Josh Farro, formerly of Paramore, now the guitarist for Novel American. He's 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have about a 50-50 chance of talking to Seth Rogen.
50-50 chance! Oh,
see what you did there. Oh. See what you... Oh.
You know what? Respect. That's sweet. A baller move.
Sweet. Sweet. We have LaQuisha talking about Jersey Shore. We have You Hit on a Relative.
What?
Yeah, oh, yeah. We have Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy talking about his new CD. And,
a lot of Seths tomorrow.
We have Penn Jillette in the studio.
Stop it.
Not kidding.
You're just making up names now.
We have Cousin Sal from Jimmy Kimmel
President
Show.
Grover Cleveland's going to be stopping by.
Jimmy Kimmel's NFL picks.
Gandhi will be bringing us snacks. Doing a cooking segment with Gandhi.
And Cooking with Gandhi tomorrow morning on All New Kevin.